It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I was a few seconds late on throwing the third switch, but hey, I got a flu shot today, so maybe I was just a little sore in that arm muscle that throws the third switch. But you know, I'm here. Let the bells ring out and the banners fly. It's too good to be true, but I'm here. It is the seventh day of November 2019. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you find us on the interweb cubes. It's not a big truck. Just run on over to HeadOn.live and click on chat room. Pick out a screen name and a password if you don't already have one. And jump right into the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I think, okay, yeah. If you do jump in, Anatole and Squeaky are just waiting to say howdy to you. And, well, right there he is, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave, and he is capably assisted by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Yes, indeed, we're off and running for this first Thorn in the Side Thursday of the month of November 2019. And I thought I would just put, every program here begins with thanks. This program is no different. We send out thanks this evening to our three subscribers for the seventh day of the month. Thanks going out to Dr. Allen, and thanks to Brock, and thanks to Reed. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to knock down about a week's worth of fundraising every given month for what we do here. Thanks to Chris in Germany for finishing off our anonymous When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge. Thank you very kindly. And that leaves us with... $400 to go to finish the week in terms of fundraising. That's $200 this evening, $200 tomorrow. And we'll see how, hopefully we'll knock down at least the two. It'd be great if we knocked down the whole four. But that's where things stand. I don't know if anybody else is having any problems, but Sparky letting me know that HeadOn.live isn't working for him right now. Let me know if you've got a problem. And well, you can. There's all kinds of different places to get the program, and hopefully that won't be. Hopefully that's just a Sparky specific issue, and not system wide. No, I did. We went to the doctor today, and messed with my blood pressure medicine a little bit. The doctor agreed that yes. I have darn good reasons for having my blood pressure be more elevated than it ordinarily is. Although when I went to the doctor's office, it was as good as it's lately been. I think they have better equipment. You know, I've got a little Wally World sphygmomanometer, but theirs registered at about 115 this afternoon. Theirs registered, I think it was 150 over 70. And so that's a little steeper than it ought to be. TuneIn's working great. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs, for letting us know. Brother Deacon Asa says that HeadOn.live is running hot on his end, so it might just be a thing there. You know, Sparky may have accidentally folded the HeadOn.live stream while he was folding space to become Man Cave. That's always a possibility. Thank you, Steve, in New York. HeadOn.live working. Maybe Sparky's internet dump truck is out of gas. I think it just got folded. I think it just, the space just got folded on top of it. It happens. No, it's not. It's not terrible. Steve from Georgia Stan talking about my blood pressure numbers. He says, that's not terrible, Bob. No, but 160 over 100 scares the shit out of me. And better to get a hold of it now than just let it keep climbing during the, as a result of the ongoing stress and whatnot. We're moving to address it. And I told the doc today, and he gave me the green light to go ahead. I told him that the way I figure it, come Sunday night before bedtime, I'll give it a couple of hours, and then I'll peel the backing off of a nicotine patch. I'll probably be slapping it on the same shoulder there that got the flu shot today. You know, it's funny. I didn't even feel the needle go in. Those things are that fine now. But damn, it's sore now. But hopefully the folks who pulled together the flu vaccine on a year in year out basis will not have misunderestimated whatever the Bushism is from back in the reign of error what this year's flu strain's going to be. It got me a flu shot, and well, like I said, I'm hoping that Monday morning I will wake up and, you know, I'll just make it through the day. Won't tear anybody's head off, won't chew through anybody's ankles or anything, and I'll slowly get to the point where I'm a non-smoker. And, you know, there's no 12-step programs for nicotine like there are for other addictive substances. Nicotine addicts are just supposed to kind of go and cope with it and deal with it and, you know, tough it out and rub a little dirt on it, walk it off. So I'm gonna treat it like any other 12-step addiction process. I'm gonna recognize that I am powerless over cigarettes and that addiction has become unmanageable. And then I'm going to take it one day at a time. And I'll ask you for your kind forbearance in advance. If the program suffers a little bit, because I really want this to work. I've wanted to quit for a long, long time. But one of the things that I do worry about is that the quality of the program will suffer, because this is where the vast majority of my smoking takes place. I'm not comparing myself to him or anything. But if you remember the old Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder was a genius. You'll remember that he sat on that set, I guess somewhere in Rockefeller Center, interviewing all and sundry and gesticulated with his hands, and there was always a burning cigarette in it. Well, that's kind of how it is here. You'd be surprised how many of them just burn up in the ashtray. But they're my binky. They're my whoopee, my security blanket. And I'm hoping I won't just be a hot mess trying to get through it. Uh, Ron in Raleigh says, how about your shingles vaccine? Get it while you can. It's hard to find. I actually got that about 4 years ago and got kind of sick for about 3 days. Ran a nasty little fever, ached all over. But that's out of the way. I think I'm probably due for a new pneumonia vaccine, but we didn't do that today. Because I didn't need to be sore in both arms at once, I think. But that's kind of where we are for this thorn in the side Thursday. Randy in PA lets us know that the White Rose Society streams are up. But no word on anything else. Randy's running a malware security scan right now. Well, hey, yeah. Brother Deacon Asa says, if the quality of the program suffers due to you're not smoking, you can always bring a tumbler of bourbon and a swirly straw into the studio. Works every time. Yeah, no, that's... Because, see, that's the other thing. Whilst in the process of quitting smoking, I'm going to have to stop doing a lot of stuff because of what I associate with it. For instance, there will be no... there's not already, but there's not going to be any hooch because drinking and smoking are inexorably tied. I don't know what... Well, but you know what? Again, even if it's not one day at a time, some of it's going to be 1 minute at a time. Because one of the things I always remember is that of all the nutty things that he said, he did get one thing right. Now I'm talking about old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan's Surgeon General, C. Everett Koop, who looked like he was the surgeon aboard the whaling ship Pequod.
There she blows, from hell's heart I stab at thee.
He noted that nicotine is more addictive even than heroin. And it's true. It doesn't have the other negative societal side effects, but it's absolutely true. How about that? Labor man Gary out in New Mexico says, I saw a PSA on TV last night. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW for help and free gum and patches and lozenges and stuff. Randy in PA says, it's okay if the program suffers. Your health is more important. That and the red meat habit means trouble. Well, you know, there's just not that much red meat in my diet right now. You know, maybe a steak per month or every month and a half, 2 months. Not the red meat eater I used to be. Oh, well, that's great. Steve in New York sends me a link. I'm not going to look at it. For the smoking mental illness study. Oh, great. Okay, I think we have a new law, a new natural law of the universe. Randy and PA pointing out Randall's Law. The number of flaming barbed wire hoops that you have to jump through multiplies to fill the available free time in life. You know what? That probably needs to be translated in Latin, but that's way above my pay grade with Latin. And this note from Lady B. I saw the clip of which she speaks, and, well now, subject line, I had a bizarre existential moment today. I come home from a doctor's appointment. Lady B and I went to the doctor today, and I don't know, maybe it's just one of those the things where the universe likes to put things in a certain order. I didn't know Lady B was going to the doctor today. But Lady B says, I come home from a doctor's appointment and see my sisters watching The View. To my utter disbelief, Donald Trump Jr. and his girlfriend are the guests. Being higher than I want to be and on the edge of paranoia, I began to ponder just how insidious it was for the programming and production team of The View to try to keep indoctrinating us into believing that we are all stupid and that shit like this is completely normal. The View, says Lady B, is unnecessary and most people know it, but it is devilishly clever in its mission. Pretend a bunch of B and C list celebrities care about the hot topics of suburbia by introducing controversial clickbait issues being discussed by a strategically diverse all-female panel. Among that panel is a black and a Jewish comedian, a Puerto Rican lawyer, a moderate lawyer, and the daughter of a famous Republican with questionable integrity. I don't know whether the daughter has the questionable integrity or the Republican Senator Daddy did. I suspect both. Put it in New York City, surrounded by a live audience of mostly liberal viewers. The black comedian is also a famous actress and over the years has become an outspoken civil rights activist. We know why they did it. And it's as obvious as a booger on your boss's lip. Well, now, there went dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. That one's on you, Lady B. I had nothing to do with it, but ew. As obvious as a booger on your boss's lip. Ratings are the crack cocaine of the broadcast world, and sometimes you gotta suck a little dick for them, too. Feed the beast. Stockholders require new Gulf Streams. But here's what chills me to the bone. My sister, my sibling, my heart, my friend, is watching this like it's the most edgy and exciting thing in the world. Whoopi's going to tell them a thing or two, she says, looking at me with a shit-eating grin. Whoopi can always take down people like that when she needs to. My sweetheart, smart but not even remotely intellectually curious sister, thinks this is an actual conversation of significance taking place and not a disgusting manipulative farce. You know, just now I was going to give Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar the benefit of the doubt. I take that back. They knew about this, and they wanted to participate in that spectacle just as much as their paycheck requires them to. And although I don't doubt that deep down they truly were outraged, there isn't much fight to be had when you know your paycheck requires you to have to bend over for a high rating or two. Anyway, going to be a lot of sound bites floating around the TV and the internets tomorrow. You might use some sound yourself. Dude, that's all on you. You're a DJ with a talk show, and you know good and goddamn well what works and what doesn't. But know that that shit today is pure spectacle. It's a farce and the type of bread and circuses shit that would give Mussolini a hard-on. It's a distraction in every way, shape, and form. And it is heartbreaking that any serious journalist would have to play that video. But they have to. This is who we are. But then again, this is what we've always been. And that is multi-layered truth. Because the only reason, the only reason that Don Jr. and his co-adulterator, Kimberly Guilfoyle, the woman he threw over a wife and children for, not that I'm judging or anything. I mean, they got family values, right? The Republicans always have family values. Oh, by the way, booger on your boss's lip, asks Darlene in Connecticut. That is vintage. You rock, Lady B. Yes, Lady B does. She does indeed. But the only reason that he was on the program is because he had made a PR firm from a publishing house had made him available for these interviews. Because he's got a book to flog. This is what I talk about, and this fits nicely with the idea of Thorn in the Side Thursday, because it is a thorn. The idea that there was anything spontaneous about this, that somebody just dialed up and said, hey, can you get Don Jr.? Don Jr. would not be, Beavis Butthead, would not be within 1,000 statute miles of that studio were it not for the fact that he's trying to hustle the book that somebody wrote for him. Let's be clear about that. It's got his name on it, but just like The Art of the Deal, there is no way that that little cretin has the talent to pound out 100 pages or 200 pages of any goddamn thing. What he did is he sat down across from a tape recorder and a paid ghostwriter and burbled about how he hates the fucking snowflakes. Because that's what the stupid book is all about. He's there to flog a book. And the book is all about how horribly he, poor, put upon Donald Trump Jr., is being treated by the fake news. It's, well, like I said, that's why I call it transactional. You know, it's transactional the same way if you go into, and it matters not whether the dancers be men or women, if you go into a strip joint, the dancer will come up to you and dance suggestively scant inches from your nose, and you, in turn, in exchange for having various genitalia put close to your nose, will take a $1 bill and fit it either into either a garter or a posing pouch. That is the very essence of transactional behavior. Well, it's the same thing when some PR hacks and flacks represent somebody with a book to pitch. And in a way, it's why I quit doing a whole bunch of book interviews. Some folks I like. Some of them are dear friends, and I don't mind having them on. But the process of having somebody say, well, hey, Bob, yeah, hey, that's great. How you been, buddy? When we wouldn't know each other if we passed on the goddamn street, and if you didn't have a book to flog, if you did recognize me, you wouldn't goddamn speak. Well, I'm not willing to participate in that unless it's something that's desperately important, and we both acknowledge that we're here to sell a book. And so today, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it would be compelling radio to run these clips. I don't think I'm gonna, because like Lady B says, it's gonna be all over the place. And you know what? Kudos to Whoopi Goldberg, because she did kick that ass. And kudos to Sonny Hostin, because she kicked that ass. He sat down there, Butthead did, Uday, whatever, and he took his lickings, because the money he can make from getting people to buy the stupid book that he didn't write a fucking word of was more important than anything passingly resembling anything that can be referred to as self-respect or dignity. So we'll just kind of move on from there. Oh, back to quitting smoking. I appreciate how much you guys are rooting for me. I've got today, tomorrow, I got about 4 more days of smoking left. They always tell you it's important to set a quit date and stick to it. So that's what I've done. Scott in San Diego says, when I quit in August 1999, I used Nicorette. The way you use it more closely mimics how we use cigarettes. That is, when the urge hits, have a piece, as opposed to a constant infusion of nicotine via a patch. Yeah, I tried it once. It just made me sick at my stomach. I had been totally rid of cigarettes for about 15 years when I went through a rather intense experience that almost found me picking up the nasty habit again. I surely did not want to do that, so I started using the gum. I still do. I'm fine with being hooked. Actually, it's not so much an addiction as it is that I happen to enjoy a little nicotine every day. The gum is designed to deliver a faint hit of nic, just enough to latch onto the receptors in the brain to provide the benefit. I've read that the difference between the intensity of the two delivery systems, smoking cigarettes and Nicorette gum, can be compared to the buzz from mainlining heroin and the buzz from a bottle of beer. Anyway, bravo for choosing not to smoke. Once you get past the first week to 10 days, you really do begin to adjust to the change. Well, I'm hoping that's the case. It takes 3 days. Well, if you, in a cold turkey situation, it takes 3 days to get it all out of your system. And then the rest of the time is spent getting over the physical attachment to the and the associations. Like smoke when you drink, smoke after sex. And that goes back to that old Rodney Dangerfield line. My wife and I decided that we'd only smoke after sex. I'm down to one cigarette every 4 months, and she's up to 12 packs a day. Yeah, no respect. Yeah, yes, it's a joke, dear.
I'm not laughing.
What? Baby, I know, it's not about you. Non est de Philem. It's not about the cat. Agnes is giving me hell because she heard the old Rodney Dangerfield line. She said, you know I can hear you, don't you? Oh, I'm never safe. Subject line, only 2 minutes. Matt in San Francisco writes, much like Melania, I could only take about 2 minutes of Donald Trump today on The View. Wait a minute. After demonstrating the self-awareness of a new puppy barking at its reflection in the mirror, I had to turn it off. A guy trying to make an argument that a vice president's son is getting rich off his father's name, as that very person is hawking a book and his father, president, is tweeting to buy his book. Oh, my head hurts. I know. So, yeah. Dollar in the G-string, Scott in San Diego says, is it bad form to put 250 coin rolls of pennies in there? Dude, you're closer than I am. Go to Tijuana and find out. That is called the acquisition of empirical data, and empirical data is always the best data. Speaking of thorns in the side, Flavio says, I had to endure my New York City sister defending Sarah Brash, going all concerned troll Barry Weiss on me, because I posted that root piece making fun of Brash. You don't know what happened. I always wait for the dust to settle, yada, 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 yada. I feel your pain, Lady B, says Flavio. Now, there are other things that are thorn in the sidey in today's edition of the 13-millisecond news cycle. Like, for instance, the idea that Michael Bloomberg, who, as a billionaire, is still convinced that his money confers upon him some right title and obligation to be our savior and to show us the error of our ways for thinking that it would be a really neat, cool, groovy thing if everybody in America who gets sick could go to the doctor, or could, in fact, go to the doctor for wellness visits to keep from having to go to the doctor when we're sick. 'Cause Michael Bloomberg is a moderate. And so today, on the same day that Mike Pencilneck Geek, who is up to his helmet hair in corruption in the Ukraine scandal, went to New Hampshire to file candidacy papers for Nitwit Nero. Well, the New York Times says that bajillionaire Michael Bloomberg who has a thing or two to tell us proles, is going to file to run for president in Alabama. Nitwit Nero is working things chronologically, where apparently Michael Bloomberg is working alphabetically. And Alabama comes first, and then Alaska, and then Arkansas, and then then Arizona, and then Arkansas. Yeah. So, really, yes, Michael Bloomberg must be a bit nervous about the ability of Uncle Joe to get all the way through the primary process, seeing how he's running out of money, has no momentum in Iowa or New Hampshire, only has South Carolina, at least for the moment, and might lose Nevada too. So, yeah, I know. Trying to envision Michael Bloomberg as some paladin riding out of the sunrise, yeah, it doesn't work for me either. And he's not really much of a Democrat anyway. But the filing deadline for Alabama, all kidding aside, was getting ready to close. Arkansas comes next. And so if he files in Alabama and Arkansas, that means that he's really, really and for true running. So that would make two, count them, two billionaires running for the Democratic nomination. And look, I'm just going to say it outright. And it might be a violation of my pledge not to endorse any particular candidate. But America needs a billionaire president like America needs an antibiotic-resistant dose of the clap. Billionaires are America's problem, not America's solution. Am I wrong in saying that? I mean, here's a guy who has profited mightily off of the tax cuts for the rich that we couldn't afford, that the Republican Congress passed and Nitwit Nero signed into law. And yet he's ready to stand there and tell us that we can't afford Medicare for all. We cannot afford to make sure that everybody in this country can go to the doctor and or get life-saving medical treatment when they're sick. And that pisses me off. I'm all billionaired out. I'm sick and tired of this notion that wealth confers intelligence, that wealth confers privilege, that wealth confers some sort of vision. Now, that's not to say that that has not been an operative philosophy in this country for a lot of years, centuries even. As I have learned from Dr. Bill in the run-up to the Constitutional Convention and during the Constitutional Convention, there was a lot of discussion among the slaveholders and the rich people and the rich slaveholders to the effect that, well, of course the wealthy should be the people who get the vote. Of course the wealthy should be the people who run things, because the wealthy are the people who own this place. And we can't have some sod-busting farmer out there going out and thinking he's as good as John fucking Hancock. Or Thomas Jefferson. Or John Adams.
We can't. That way lies madness.
So, yeah, Darlene in Connecticut says puke, gag. Really? Did Mike Bloomberg run into Jeff Sessions, a.k.a. idiot, per Trump, who's trying to reclaim his old Senate seat? Because that's a thing, too. Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third is going to ruin for being senator from the state of Alabama. And that looks like it is going to be a merry little primary, that Republican senatorial primary in Alabama. Hopefully, no one will get a clear majority, and that will mean a runoff, just like we had the last time there was an open seat in Alabama. Now, you may recall that Luther Strange and Mo Brooks, Les Brames, and Roy Tolamore duked it out to finish Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third's term. When he decided to absent himself from the Senate in order to be Attorney General for that noble and good and decent man, Donald J. Trump. Luther Strange didn't make it out of that, and it wound up being a runoff between Mo Brooks, Les Brames, and Roy Tolamore. And Roy Tolamore won that runoff, and I predicted, based on the numbers, that it looked like there was a decent chance that Roy Tolamore could be beaten. And I was right. And I didn't even use my crystal ball or my trusty old worn-out Magic 8 ball with the cracked screen that says, answer hazy, ask again later. It was just kind of obvious. So in the upcoming Republican Senate primary in Alabama, you're going to have Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Third, and you're going to have Roy Tolamore, who will be campaigning hard at the Santa's workshops in malls all around Alabama. And you've got the former head coach of the Auburn University football team, Tommy Tuberville, and you've got the current Attorney General of Alabama, and for all I know, are two or three other dudes. To which I say, come on, let's you and them fight. But there's been a lot of punditry out there today saying, well, he probably won't have the support of Donald Trump, and they played the clip of Trump mocking his cornpone accent. But I think it should be a fine thing, or at least entertaining to watch. Steve in New York says, I'm going to modify your statement. Billionaires are less the problem as they are a result of the problem, which is capitalism. Well, yeah, they couldn't be that without capitalism. But then again, there's not. What about your Russian oligarchs? Are we going to say that they're capitalists? Because as far as I can tell, those are just thieves who manipulate the economic system of their country. And that sounds a lot like your average billionaire over here. Brother Deacon Asa, with an observation, says, just a second here. Stand by. Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa says, doesn't Mr. Bloomberg know about that unwritten rule in America, the one about we don't vote for Jews for president? Yeah, I reckon that it maybe he thinks that his money washes all that away. I don't know. But, you know, usually I go through the filibobster and stuff and before I go to the phones, but I've got something wonderful going on here. We haven't heard from Sandra in about a jillion years, and Sandra just chimed in. Hey, Sandra, my God almighty, what a wonderful thing it is to hear from you. Oh, wrong button. There you are. Sorry, too many buttons.
Oh, how's it going?
You know, among the living, how about you?
Oh, no, you know, it's all right. Not really. You know, I just thought I'd check in because I'm just sort of, I don't even know. It's so beyond the pale of what's going on in this country. I don't even know where to start. But I was laughing because, you know, Bernie, of course, he's going to reduce it to what it is. He said the billionaire class is scared, and they should be scared. I'm like, string them up, Bernie. Bernie's not my candidate, but you know, I'm cool.
I've been thinking more and more. It's time to cue up that great old country tune, "Up Against the Wall, You Redneck Mothers."
Well, no, but to me, I just think it's outrageous because they keep coming out whining, and if they think that we're going to elect some 5'4" asshole, they out of their mind. You know, Bloomberg and
among other things, you know that. That's true. We don't elect short people, and he's a freaking hobbit.
Oh, he's too short. It's a joke. But, it's more kind of, you know, the oligarchy is obviously nervous. And I think, you know, for Bernie to come out and just be quite clear that they shouldn't even exist, I'm impressed because it's so, you know, it's not the usual. And he doesn't seem to have any shame. I saw that Corbyn is talking about them motherfuckers shouldn't exist either. But the problem is that all they want to do is tax them, but they're whining. But see, other people want to take their heads off. See, Santiago. So I don't understand how they don't understand they need to, you know, agree to an arrangement because they can't exist if there's no world. Am I missing something?
No. You've got it spot on.
Oh,
and I think they, okay. they look at history through the lens, through a lens that's colored by their money, and so they see things like the French Revolution and the Bolshevik Revolution as, you know, some sort of just little blips in history that happened because of the weather or maybe a virus or you know, it maybe like the Salem witch mania. It was a fungus on the wheat or something, and not because they themselves precipitated those events.
Well, yeah, no, and it's right back to that. I mean, and if you couple that with the sort of pending end of the world, I don't know how else to describe it, because I'm looking at Elysium, which also known as San Francisco, that's going to disappear. They already got shit lapping over the Embarcadero.
Yep.
So I'm not too sure I guess they think they can all move to Auckland and take over that poor country. I don't know.
Right. And I'm sure you've seen the clip of the 25-year-old answering a heckler by saying, "Sure, boomer." That was a beautiful moment.
Well, but the boomers,
go
they
ahead.
Got a lot to, you know, we got a lot to answer for, though. That's true.
Well, I've written myself off as a boomer. I've declined, you know, because as a 1963 person, I get to choose between being either a late boomer or an early Xer. And I've decided that I'm an early Gen Xer.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, we're the same age. You
yeah,
and I.
No. I'd rather be called a slacker than a boomer. Yeah, I agree. But, I just am, you know, the politics is so bizarre. And, you know, I was thinking about Eric Frommer, you know, the sort of 1850s. You know, we seem to be mirroring that, and that's kind of scary. You know what I'm saying? If Trump gets in again, I just don't see people you know, bowing down to a Supreme Court saying that you're not quite human. I don't see people going along with that. When we have, you know, the state here don't have the monopoly of violence like Weber, because we got guns. And I know people are like, ooh, but that is true. And well, there's no way that people are going to roll back and accept not being fully human.
Well, no, and you know. No, I know exactly what you mean, and the problem lies in the fact that they are playing a very dangerous game, Sandra. Because thus far, we have proven ourselves fairly adept at complacently taking our medicine as long as the cable stays on, and we can continue in the terms of that one phrase to amuse ourselves to death. That ain't always going to be the case. And, you know, you talk about San Francisco. Look at Miami, where just the combination between...
Well, yeah, they're already laughing. They're already...
Yeah, the combination of a high tide and
a
full moon...
Yeah, it's already flooding.
And you flood, and ordinary rains flood the streets. And they're relying on pumps to keep them above ground. That's not supposed to be like that in Miami. I mean, that's New Orleans, right? They deliberately built that below sea level.
Well, no, but everything is 70 years ahead of time, which is a bit of a worry. I don't mean to laugh. I just find, you know, because I've been following, you know, climate disruption, you know, since I was a kid. And I am quite taken aback by how rapid. I don't know. Maybe we're in positive feed loops or something, because it seems to be really accelerating. Am I wrong? No.
I mean, I see it. You're nearer the ocean than I am, but I see it here in Appalachia, and it's made more weird here because of what's been deliberately done to the landscape. You know all about that, but we had 2 months of drought that we're not supposed to have, and you know, our house here sits on top of a spring, and we've got a wet basement, and it will fill up with water, and it dried out, and in the most well-watered portion of the United States, that's a thing, because Appalachia is, you know, we've got rain levels as much or more so than the Pacific Northwest, you know, Oregon and Washington.
Right, right.
And we got bone damn dry.
Yeah, I mean.
No, go ahead.
No, I mean, here in California, you know, we got 3 years of this kind of hideous fire, and people don't want to recognize that this is the new normal. You know what I mean? So there's going to be parts of California already that's not going to be fit to inhabit, in the next 3 years. So I don't, you know, I'm not too sure, because people aren't dealing with it very well, because you don't cut power out. That isn't the solution. I've never seen anything like it.
No, but oddly enough, you know, we here have, we don't get it done deliberately. It just goes out for 2 weeks at a time sometimes when a big storm blows through or something like that. And we're finding out the price of 75 years of abject negligence.
Well, yeah, and it's a joke, because if you look at the utility in San Diego, somehow they're managing to take care of the infrastructure. You see what I mean? I mean, PG&E gave away all their money to the investors who own it. And if Gavin Newsom don't watch it, he's going to get his ass recalled.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing out there, and I'd almost forgotten about that.
I'm just saying, no, you know, this is not, you know, it's not fun and games. But, I don't know, Bob, you know, like I said, you know, the reason why I haven't called is just everything, it all seems to be a bit way up north.
Yeah, well, you got to, all you can do is pick out the outrage du jour and sort of cogitate upon that and then move on to the next one 13 milliseconds later. This has been, this, you know, we just celebrated our 14th anniversary last month, And this has been the weirdest, not quite 3 years of the entire run of this program. It doesn't let up. It's a headache every day. It's an oh my God every day. You know, Jesus Christ, we got Trump out there admitting he did what he said he didn't do, and people are going, well, I don't know if we should impeach him. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, what the fuck? And what I keep saying is, if he's not gone on January 20th, 2021, we are. We're done.
Well, yeah, no, that's the thing. I mean, it's not, there's no way that this is going to be tenuous. But I do think that, because I'm always joking with a friend of mine, I'm like, oh, you know, we're about to hit a low-grade insurgency in this country. I was kind of joking, but, I'm not too sure now.
Well, I think, I mean, as far as the other side's concerned, Sandra, I think we're already there. I mean, that's what shooting up Walmarts and bars and movie theaters. That's, I mean, if that was happening in Iraq or Syria, you'd have some guy with a bunch of stars on his shoulder board standing there talking about asymmetrical warfare.
Well, no, but it's, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, let's be honest. There's a white male problem in this country.
As a white male, I say, yes, there is. I mean, find me a problem that doesn't have its roots in that.
Yeah, no, but because I still can't get over the, you know, we just move along with, you know, the complete attack on Latinos, which is what that guy did in El Paso.
Right.
He just went down. He said, I got to kill up some brown people because they're doing, I don't really know what he thought they were doing, but
coming here,
that's like race war. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I watch everything every day. I try to, you know, I take in some TV news and whatnot, and then I try to do my own independent reading. And what kind of shocks me is that in all of this talk of impeachment, it's all impeachment all the time, because the multimillionaire for-profit media has a very limited ability to focus on things. But Jesus Christ, there are still children in cages in concentration camps.
They're still separating.
Right, and how is that not something that you talk about getting rid of a monster in office over? I mean, are we at a place where we say, well, you know, I mean, that's just a presidential prerogative. I mean, you can torture a certain group of people if you want to, because elections have consequences.
Well, no, but they were looking at hangars in California because Trump wants to, you know, round up the tens of thousands of homeless people now. That's what they've been talking about, which is what I always say. It's like when they were, like, you know, setting up their detention centers, I'm like, no, this is, you know, Hannah Arendt writ large coming. Yeah, they do them, they do you next.
Yeah, and it all happens under the guise
sort of
realize the banality of evil.
There's and we see all the little Eichmanns, they're everywhere. Pompeo, Barr, all of them.
Stephen Miller.
They all little Eichmanns. Miller, you know, so I don't even know what else to say about the state of things. And, you know, I mean, it's impressive that the State Department is at least producing some people who seem to be concerned about, you know, the U.S. But that's kind of it. Because isn't Barr running around the world trying to get people to – I don't understand what he's doing.
He's doing
Italy and England and –
He's doing Trump's bidding to the extent that he can possibly do it, but even he found his breaking point. You know, at the end of the program last night,
he wouldn't come out and declare that they want to do a press conference.
Yeah, and so what was particularly funny today was, and this is another thing that has to end. I don't know how. I don't know what impact it has on the First Amendment, but presidential tweeting has got to become an anomaly, something that he did that nobody else will ever do again, because you can't run a government like this. And so he gets out and he tweets this morning, and he's so goddamn dumb, Sandra. On the one hand, he denies that he asked Bill Barr to come out and say that he was pure as the driven snow. But on the other hand, he said,
Bill Barr did not decline my request to talk about Ukraine.
He admitted, therefore, that he made the request, which he had just said was fake news.
Well, he don't care. I mean, he, you know, no one's stopping him, so he just continues. But what, Barr said no, right?
Barr said no.
Bomb it off or what?
No, Barr said he wouldn't do it, and the reason behind that is because Barr has become pissed off at Trump letting Rudy Giuliani run around and make foreign policy and do DOJ stuff behind Barr's back. Remember, Rudy Giuliani wanted more than anything else on earth to be Trump's Attorney General.
Of State.
No, Attorney General.
Oh, Attorney General, okay. I'm sorry. He is such a freak. What in the world?
But it's
Giuliani. I'm just like.
No, it's breathtaking. You feel like this can't possibly be real, and you wake up every morning and it is.
I wonder if he's going to leave, if he loses, you know, how that's going to work. It's not going to be a helicopter, I don't think.
he's in such horrible shape. And that's coming from somebody who needs to take better care of himself. I'm not knocking down two Big Macs, two Filet-O-Fish, a large fry, and a Diet Coke for lunch every fucking day.
Is that for real?
Yes.
Well, so he can stroke out, though.
Yeah, that's 2,930 calories just for lunch on a guy who doesn't move.
I know, but he plays golf, right?
Yeah, look, golf can be a real nice little workout. I'm not kidding. I'm not being a smartass. If you walk the course, if you carry your bag, and if you swing the sticks, you know, if you can't, you know, say, oh, a couple of practice swings for every real stroke, and let's say you're a really good golfer and you can bring it in at under 80, you've still gotten
mulligans.
Yeah, right. No cheating. You can get a little workout doing that. But this is a dude who drives the golf cart onto the greens at his own golf courses. I mean, you would if the greenskeeper caught you doing that on a golf course, driving your cart up onto the green, you would be banned from the course and forever. And it would get around, hey, that fucker drives the cart onto the cart onto the greens. I'm not entirely convinced, Sandra, that he's still going to be president come November 3rd, 2020. And that's not.
I know, but what about. Yeah, but.
By natural causes.
Right, but then we have Wedding Cake Man. I'm not too sure about that.
Oh, no. He's in this up to his helmet hair. And I think it's a deliberate effort they're keeping him in the background because I think at some point in time somebody's going to offer him a deal.
Well, no, I just think Spiro Agnew or whatever with Mike Pence, that dude, you know. But, no, I'm sure he's looking, you know, it's like some sort of Dorian Gray excerpt with that guy. So
oh,
I
no.
know he's just screening in front of the mirror, just waiting.
Mother. Well, it's interesting you would bring that up, though, because there's this anonymous book out now called A Warning.
Yeah.
And it's by the same person who wrote the grown-ups in the room anonymous op-ed for the New York Times a couple of years back. And
the anonymous, though, does he have an anonymous bank account? I mean, you know. Come
right.
On.
Well, I mean, we can. They're busting their ass to out the whistleblower. Can they out this guy? But here's the funny thing.
Yeah, exactly.
In that book, this writer says that Mike Pence could be convinced to sign off on the Section 4, Amendment 25 letter, which is kind of a big damn deal.
Oh.
He says that there was an informal tally taken inside the White House
of cabinet members who'd sign off on the Section 4 letter. And everybody involved said that they were sure that Pence would endorse such an effort. And so this guy, we already know he's a paranoid mess. The reason he eats McDonald's is he thinks that keeps him from being poisoned. He's that.
I have a flashback of me and the twins doing that experiment when we had the McDonald's just sit there and nothing
I
ever
talked
changed.
About that the other
whereas
night.
Taco, you know, whereas Taco Bell, for your viewers, our listeners, it actually goes bad. So you might want to shift the Taco Bell, their food will go bad. But
the Taco Bell meat had freaking metal shavings in it, so no, nah, not so much with the Taco Bell.
Okay. Well, then no, not them either. Hey, so I'm just looking, and Elizabeth Warren, she is so funny. She sent her calculator for billionaires to Mike Bloomberg.
Oh, they're going to bully him. You know that?
Just, she is awesome. That is so fucking funny. Come on.
No, that. And if we. The very idea, though, that Michael Bloomberg is going to be a firewall against us.
That's the thing. And it's just sort of. I don't really know what planet they're on because. Nope.
Mm-mm.
No, Biden must be worried, though. Wouldn't that take away from him?
Well, that's the whole reason he's in there. The message that's coming from Bloomberg filing
he's fading.
He doesn't think Biden can finish the job.
Gonna make it. Well, I mean, he starts talking about corn pops or cocoa puffs or whatever. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Oatmeal,
the dangerous black man. Yes.
I still haven't gotten over that. That had me rolling. I know people was upset, but I just thought it was really funny.
Well, it's evidence. It's circumstantial evidence that this is that he's been passed by the time. He's been running for president since 1984. He's never run a quality campaign, and there's a reason.
Well, remember when there's
a reason he didn't run in 16.
Remember when he stole from Neil Clinton?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he stole from Neil Kinnock, who a decent politician? I'm still appalled by that. How dare he? And he's been losing ever since.
And he's, among other things, everybody's talking about, well, you know, he's running out of money. This is Joe Biden, and he's running out of money. He's the choice of the moneyed class on the Democratic side, and he's running out of money because he's running a terrible campaign. And the most.
Well, I thought he was doing a super PAC.
Oh yeah, no, he's gonna have a super PAC, and they're
whatever.
Yeah, and they're gonna bundle for him. But if he loses badly in New Hampshire and Iowa, some of that support is gonna slip in South Carolina. And I'm gonna breach this with you because I'm not comfortable with it. But there's something that just pesters me. It's like having an itch in a place that you can't reach. Isn't it disturbing, at least a little bit, that the African American community in South Carolina, which is primarily older African Americans, are being described as his firewall?
Well, you know what, my mother is 80, and she just laughed. Her and my stepdad, they're like, what? So they old as dirt. They're like, Joe Biden? Just fuck Joe Biden. So I don't know about all that either. I'm just saying, just my own focus group is my fucking parents.
Are your parents in California?
But they're from Louisiana. You know, Louisiana via... Yeah, whatever. But what I'm saying is that I'm not too sure about all this sort of monolithic black people only for Biden stuff. I don't know about that.
Well, it almost makes it because I've been pissing and moaning quite a bit about this, and I do it every 4 years, of course. This business of letting states that are never going to deliver their delegates in the Electoral College scam of things. Letting states that are never going to deliver their Electoral College votes for a Democrat determine who the Democratic nominee should be.
Well, no, but see, my thing is he's saying that he's going to lose Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and the Negroes are going to save him in South Carolina, and then come Super Tuesday, everyone's going to, I don't even understand the strategy. It don't make no sense.
Well, everything's different now that y'all are in Super Tuesday. None of this waiting around till June California can be irrelevant stuff.
Yeah, California and Texas. I mean, it'll be over with after that Super Tuesday, as far as I can tell, right?
I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Yeah, but I don't know what, the Biden stuff is just, it doesn't seem like he's going to, be the nominee.
Well, you
and and that's why all these people, because I heard that Eric Taquita Holden is thinking of coming in. I'm like, what, nigga? Sit down.
I made an out there prediction a long time ago that there is at least a lottery player's wager odds that Robbie Mook or somebody is whispering to Hillary, third time's the charm. You got this.
Oh, I wouldn't. They probably wish that pound cake Obama could come back, but thankfully we can't have that. I'm sorry. I'm not. You know me. I'm not a fan.
Oh, I know. I know. But
especially him doing his best Bill Cosby impression. I'm like, what in the world? So.
Yeah, it's just that with the benefit of hindsight, he looks like FDR compared to the clown that's in there now. And that's.
Oh no, I understand. But I just, I just am kind of over, the Obama this, Obama that, after kind of what he didn't do for 8 years. So.
Yeah, but even with
now he's coming in saying that people need to dampen their expectations. I'm like, no, sit down.
Well, even but you remember this, Darlene in Connecticut reminding us, you don't have to do this, Joe, as stated by you know who, the very man whose coattails Joe's riding hard upon. I mean, when Barack Obama tells you before you throw your hat in the ring, you don't got to do this, Joe. Isn't it kind of like saying, Joe, please don't do this?
Well, no, it is, but I wish he could have said just that. But then again, he could have appointed Garland in a recess, and he didn't do that, so.
No, well, the other thing he could have done is just told him to put on his black robe and march up there and sit down and dare him to take him out.
Well, exactly.
Because the Supreme Court,
the
Supreme Court doesn't have the ability to refuse to seat a member.
Well, not only that, but, it's. Yeah, I just think that the electorate is somewhere else. They're not with the sort of third way neoliberal crap that Bloomberg, Holder, Klobuchar, and this Mayor Pete. Ugh,
yeah, I'm kind of past Pete.
Oh, he's
Pete,
horrible.
Pete.
He got some sort of self-hating shit he need to deal with. He need to.
Well, he lost me for good and all when he said that we need more justices like Anthony Kennedy, because he said that.
Well, no, but how dare he name some plan of his after Frederick Douglass too? I'm appalled, honestly. I'm like, what in the world? And then they come out saying black people are homophobic. Ooh, that's going to get them voting for you. What the fuck?
Jesus, I know. By the way, we got a note from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, blood pressure. I'm on the treadmill at the gym listening to you and Sandra. Your conversation's making my heart beat faster than this pre-core 4000. Signed, Matt in San Francisco, paren, until it's underwater, close paren.
Shut up. Well, you know what? On that note, I really do have to say good night.
Well, just before you do, let me ask, is everything okay with you? I mean, the gig's still good and all of that, and
it's all sort of hamster wheelish, but that's how it goes.
Come Saturday, are you going to channel your inner Shallow and check out LSU and Alabama?
Oh, That's right. No, didn't they tell them they can't boo or they lose their scholarship?
Yeah, they did.
Whatever?
Yeah. No, no, no. Fuck losing your scholarship. You lose your stadium seats.
Oh, which is even more valuable. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they go, but they can. They cannot. They don't have to cheer though. They just can't boo.
Yeah. No booing. They would prefer lusty cheering though. And of course, Nitwit Nero retweeted it. Even though they came back and said, "Well, no, we weren't saying that. What we said, but it was
No booing. No booing. Definitely no booing."
Well, no, but is Nitwick just going to go from one event to another until he gets some love? Is that the strategy?
Yeah.
I don't really understand.
Yeah, you'll notice that after every event where he's been booed, they've had to hustle him up a quick maggot rally so that he can hear people cheering for him.
Oh, it's just, No, I'm still living for that fan who was like, "We got some assholes in the White House." Oh, my God, I can't. That was so good.
And the fact that it was on Fox.
The National.
It was on Fox.
Oh, God, that was just, it was excellent. I couldn't even believe it. So, there's
And there's
the idea that, we're not completely fascist, because they're still booing, I mean, Erdogan would cut your throat, so we're not there yet.
Yeah, but he got booed, They took him to the UFC thing because they said that the UFC brawling is his kind of people, and they booed his ass there.
Wasn't it a mix? Was it mixed? Or
yeah, it was mixed. It was mixed, but you heard a hell of a lot more boo than cheer. I mean,
No, the only other upside, and I'll hang up, is that I think Pompeo is through. He ain't got no future, so there's that. Rapture ready. He can just rapture out and call it a day.
God. First in his class at West Point. That still just tickles me pink every time I say it. What are they teaching at West Point that he'd be first in the class? Sandra, thanks a million for calling in. It's been wonderful to hear from you. And Sparky said, "It's nice to hear from Sandra again. Everybody's just tickled pink to hear from you."
Okay, well, listen, everyone take care, and sometime soon, I guess.
Yeah, we'll figure this out. We'll get through it, and don't be such a stranger.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, you take care, Sandra. Bye now. What a treat. I had a note from... Ron and Raleigh. Hallelujah. I was hoping against hope that I would not go the entire Trump term without a Sandra fix. I, as well as the other Horn family members, have missed her desperately. We love you. Oh, yes. And well, Sandra just has a way with words. Water lapping at the Embarcadero. That's a line. So we're off and running on this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And like I said, we've got 200 to, 200 bucks to finish to do this evening and 400 for tomorrow. From Tracy, a note: it's the $50 "I love my mother so much that I'm dealing with fools" challenge. And Tracy says, "First off, good on you for taking the challenge of giving up smoking. As you know, I've been working on changing my life to get healthy, and the shit is harder than all get out. While I'm not addicted to cigarettes, I'm completely and totally addicted to food, so yes, I know about addiction. I'm glad you made the decision to stop, and I just want you to know I got you back. Now on to the challenge. This weekend, we are celebrating my mother's 70th birthday. And, of course, that means I have to deal with my ignorant motherfucking family. And I'm reading it precisely as it was spelled. I have an aunt who's pissed because I won't let her piggyback my 9-year-old cousin's birthday with my mother's party. And I have another aunt who's trying to use the residual smoke from the fires not to come. By the way, there's no residual smoke. And, oh, yes, these are my mom's sisters. This is just the tip of the iceberg of crazy that's my family. I'm not going to go into greater detail because it's only going to make me crazy. So to get through what is probably going to be the longest day of my life, I'm going to be somewhere between rich white lady drunk and white girl schwasted. As much as I can't stand most of my family, I love my Horn family so much, and especially you and Agnes. That's why I contribute whenever I can, because I need to keep this community and the conversation going, especially this weekend, in order to keep my sanity. So here's the $50. I love my mother so much, I'm dealing with Fool's Challenge. And if my challenge is met, then I'll add another undisclosed amount to it to make things interesting. So if Tracy's challenge is met, another $50 comes in, then that means we are halfway or more to finishing off this evening's fundraising, and we're on track to not need any particularly humongous miracles, community-made miracles, come Friday on the front porch. And thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much. And, well, doggone it. Family are the friends that you definitely did not choose for yourself, to turn what Gertrude Stein said on its ear. You know, she said, friends are the family you choose for yourself. Family is the friends you never actually chose. And sometimes they're not friends. So thank you. Tracy's I Love My Mother So Much, I'm Dealing with Fools Challenge is on the table and on the clock. And we've got about, an hour and 45 minutes to meet that and hopefully knock it out the rest of the way out of the park. Ralph's asking, is Dan going to be on this evening? Because I'd mentioned that Dan Fisher might be joining us. And I got a note right before airtime, Dan saying that Dan's out there working. Dan and his year-old new used heart. Dan's out there and had to work late this evening because that's how it goes in the TV biz sometimes. But hopefully we'll get Dan on early next week, because I've been looking forward to that conversation. I always look forward to our conversations. I'm going over to the phones here in a second, but that story, it just leaped off the page at me. That story that I mentioned with Sandra, that this book, A Warning, by the anonymous White House insider, contains a passage that says there has been no small amount of talk about the 25th Amendment. So it sounds like there's at least somebody in the White House, and we don't know what kind of people they are. They could just be rock-ribbed Reagan Republicans who don't like what's being done to their beloved party. Who knows? But they're talking 25th Amendment, which means that we've been ahead of the curve again. Time after time after time, we have painstakingly, laboriously gone over what's in Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. There's nothing in there to suggest that they felt like they had the necessary number of signatures to the letter, but they do say, the book does say, according to the Huffington Post article, they got excerpts of the book, provided that they were willing to not directly quote any passages from it. It'll be published on November 19th. Now see who's flogging a book. So everything had to be paraphrased. But the bottom line is that the people talking 25th Amendment were lead pipe cinch certain that Mike Pence would sign such a letter. And how's that? And of course he would, because he believes that his helmet hair has been anointed by the Almighty to bring America back to Jesus Christ. I think that's why you're not hearing as much about Pence and all the impeachment and Ukraine talk, and it's all focusing on Trump. Because Pence, in that meeting in Poland, was Trump's enforcer relative to the shakedown with Ukraine. And Pence can always be indicted. There's no Office of Legal Counsel memo that prevents it and says he, too, is above the law. Just ask the burning ghost of Spiro T. Agnew. Hey, let's go over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy. are you hanging on? Are you hanging on for dear life?
Motherfucker! Oh my God!
And that's on top of the 50 pounds of macaroni salad you had to make.
My head. I'm sitting in traffic, and we were supposed to be going out to dinner tonight to El Coyote. Fortunately, my brother got in today. My brother that I like. I have three brothers, two of which I like. The Hotep brother, his ignorant ass. Oh, that's another one. I forgot to mention his ass. He's not coming. And he still has yet to tell me that he's not coming, punk ass motherfucker. But anywho, he's not coming.
I will resist the urge to guess at reasons.
Oh, well, you know, it's the Sabbath because the birthday party's on a Saturday. He doesn't celebrate birthdays. Bitch! No, the woman birthed you. Okay, anywho. And I forgot to also mention the other, because like I said, there was so much to type about the ignorance that is my family. I also have a cousin who is a Kanye West devotee. He performs for Kanye West. And I did not realize this because he thinks that my mom, because, you know, this whole Kanye West, you know, he has this church that he does or whatever the fuck.
Oh, no, I saw that. I haven't had the cultural fortitude to dive into that, but. Yes, Kanye West.
Please don't.
Kanye West, prosperity gospel evangelist.
Mm-hmm. So my cousin is a singer, and he performs with Kanye. Well, he's getting tickets. He thought that a great present to my mom would to get her tickets to go to this performance. So, and not that my mother would have gone anyway, because, again, my mother's going to be 70 years old. What the fuck does she care about Kanye West? On top of the fact, when I told her yesterday, because my mom got into town yesterday, that Kanye West said that slavery was a choice, she looked at me, she's like, that boy's touched, isn't he?
Yeah, that's pronounced yeah. Touched here in the hills, but yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said, did he really say that? And was he joking? I said, no, Mama. And I said, you know, like I've said before on numerous occasions, you know, Kanye West has always been insufferable, but at least when his mother was alive, she kind of kept him in check. And once she died, it was horrible. He lost what was left of his raggedy ass mind. And he has gone on record to say that he is bipolar, you know, which is huge, but obviously he is not taking his medication because now he thinks he's Jesus. And now he's got church. And I'm like, So yeah. So
but you're going to have a whole passel of family there, and it's not all miserable chaos, is it? I mean,
no, it's still, you know what, Bob? And really, I'm not going to get drunk because, you know, I'm not a drinker.
But
I just.
But the idea of you being somewhere between polite white lady loaded and obnoxious white girl wasted, it's at least good for a mental image giggle.
It's good for a laugh. It's good for a giggle. But no, I do have out of hand. So that is what I would be doing, and I'm trying to keep myself from just chewing it or mainlining it or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you know, just a big box of popcorn with that Ativan glaze, and there you go.
Mm-hmm, there you go. So that was when this whole thing, you know, came to, you know, when I made the decision to do this party for my mom, and I asked her, I said, well, who do you want there? And she's like, well, I don't want, you know, people are going to get on your nerves. I said, you know, these people get on my nerves, Mama, but I love you. And it's only one day. And I said, I have to add a van. And she's like, do you have extra?
Mama knows.
Because Mama knows. And like, you know, because I shared with you the text that my aunt sent me about, you know, piggybacking on my mother's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did the whole passive-aggressive thing about whether it was just a fraud. I'm over it when I told her no. And so then yesterday morning, or afternoon rather, when my mom landed in LAX, she sent both of her tri-credit, I mean my aunt, I can't stand these people.
Jesus. I'm laughing with, not laughing at.
I know, because I love my mother, and I don't like the fact that they do that because of who they are, their actions hurt my mother. Regardless of how my mother and I, you know, because I have my own issues with my mother, and we all, you guys, my whole family have known my issues that I've had with my mother. But the bottom line is she is my mom, and if you hurt my mother, that means I have to cut you. That part. So my mom texts both of her sisters to tell her that she arrived in town safely. Now, the one that said, you know, about, you know, piggybacking on my mom's birthday party and when I said no and she got an attitude, her response to my mother was, well, I'm sick. And like, bitch, you weren't sick when you texted me to ask me if you can piggyback on my mom's party. Now all of a sudden your ass is sick? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the one that's talking about the residual smoke,
tell me she's a three pack a day.
No. Even better. She used to smoke, actually. She quit. But I have to say, both of my aunts used to be, you know, serious smokers. And to their credit, they both stopped smoking and all that. Because like I said, I'm the oldest of five. And so there's my brother Solomon that lives in Atlanta. My William no longer lives in San Francisco. He moved down here back in August. And my sister Rachel. Now my aunt Diane, the one that was asking about the residual smoke, bitch, there ain't no smoke. And you live in fucking Bakersfield.
Wait a minute.
The air in Bakersfield.
Okay. Yeah, no, that I understand a little better now.
Uh-huh. But here's the thing about my Aunt Diane. Now, she has flown to Atlanta to visit my brother Solomon. She has flown to Portland to visit my sister Rachel, and on many occasions to San Francisco to visit my brother William. Now, I live in L.A. She has never come to visit me.
I mean, you live in the valley.
Right.
But I'm learning.
She has not once flown to North Carolina to visit her fucking sister.
Well, you know, that calls to mind something that Lee in New York just sent in, Tracy. Subject line, family. Lee says, regarding family, I tell people I'm an only child. My parents learned from their mistakes. Yeah, I know.
Well, that is why when I go to the Alex, I told my doctor, my OBGYN, tie this shit up, soldered and ripped them out. I don't want any more shit. And my doctor's like, oh, honey, you're young. First of all, honey, yeah, but, you know, I was 22. And, of course, I'm a 22-year-old black woman. I was supposed to have at least five more children by different men. Because, you know, welfare queen and all that. But I'm like, I don't want any more kids. Oh, you're going to change your mind. Alex is fucking 31. Do I have any more kids?
That's a no?
Look, Alex got here by the skin of his teeth. Literally. So, hey. I didn't want kids fit. I didn't even want to have him. So when I found out that I was going to have him, and I'm like, okay, so you got in, buddy. I don't want no more. One and done. I'm good. Not a fan of kids. I like them to a certain extent. I like well-behaved children. That's a problem with me. I'm old school. You know, remember how kids used to have to mind and stuff, and all they could do was look at a kid when they were cutting up and they would stop? you know, raised eyebrow or you know, just, you know.
Oh, no. I'm well versed in that because our little family is legendary around here because, well, not just around here, but when they were little, you know, babies will cry and things like that, and I like to take my family out to dinner and things like that back in the day. And at the first whimper, there was a line that our children can still all repeat, and they do. At the first whimper, Agnes would look at me and say, "We'll be in the car. We'll be in the van." Those were the minivan days. "We'll be in the van. There are other people in this restaurant who came here to enjoy their dinner, and I will not have our children ruining it for them." And then she would speak to the, server when he or she came by and said, "Would you please put our orders in a box? We're going to be in the van. Our children are misbehaving." And in the funky little restaurant culture that is the town near that I live near, they were like, "Nobody does that anymore." And Agnes said, "I do."
And
I was a little bit more doting. I was like, "Oh, honey, come on, enjoy your meal. I can't enjoy my meal with them behaving like this."
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and eventually we got to the point where we could actually enjoy a meal without complete mm-hmm. chaos. But it took a lot of education by mama to get there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
First scream, you know, there's no three strikes. It's one strike. One scream, one squeal, one squeak, out the door.
Done. Alex had one almost temper tantrum. Let me tell you something. I don't know if I've ever told this story. This is his first day at nursery school, preschool, or whatever. Now, I had to take two buses to get to him, to get from work. And I was a cashier around. I've been at work all day, tired as hell, and had to ride the bus to get to him. Two buses. And that's before I got home. That was the, you know, bus to get one, to get him, and then had to get on another bus to get home. So I get to the school, and apparently, and so he was having a fun time with playing with all his little new friends and all that there, and he wasn't ready to go home. So my son, it still tickles me. This is almost 30 years later. It still tickles me to think about what he did. He tried to fall out. Because apparently, a little boy who mama had picked him up before I got there wasn't ready to go. And he fell out. So his mama let him stay a little while longer to play. So Alex saw that and thought, "Ooh, well, maybe that'll work on my mother too."
Nope. Not happening.
So Alex proceeded to try to fall out, right? And I just looked at him and looked at it. He fell out. I think it all lasted all of 2 seconds. And I looked at him and laughed. I said, "Little boy, you better get your butt up and get your coat and let's go." And he looked at me because in his only short span of 2 or 3 years of life on this earth, he had never heard that tone of voice coming from his mother. And he did not like that tone, Bob. That tone was unfamiliar. And that not only the tone, but my facial expression. He had never seen that. He had never seen that look on my face, nor had he ever heard that tone in my voice. And it didn't register. He didn't like, "I don't like this sound, and I don't like this look." I think the fear, I think the peer.
Tracy, are you there? I'm still connected. We haven't dropped the Bluetooth. Tracy. I'll tell you what, I'll pot that down, and hopefully Tracy will get back within cell range or something. And meanwhile, we'll run over and we'll check in with Flavio
in Far La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hey, Flavio.
Hey, man. How's it going?
You know, managing. It's gonna get hateful tonight and tomorrow night. Yeah, but well, it's primarily a matter of it. You know, I just gotta have the one day at a timeness to get through it.
Yeah. Anyway, I was wondering, did you see that article by Michael Harriet in The Root?
Oh yeah, yeah, I did. Tracy turned me on to Michael Harriet, and he's amazing.
This is fucking hilarious. But what was the best was, like, the comments, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so this guy is, like, the one commentator was repeating what the woman was saying, because she wanted the campus police to release the video, right, that she says would exonerate her, right?
Yeah, this is the woman who... Called the cops on a Yale student a Yale law student napping in the student lounge.
Yeah, it was. She was actually, I think she was African studies.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She was a fellow student. Okay, and so, but even though Brash hasn't seen the video, she contends that she feels like it would exonerate her, adding that the supervising officer who came late to the scene was very hostile to me. In other words, they were telling her to
fuck off,
not your personal army. He began berating me, and I found his behavior to be very hostile. I was the harasser instead of the person being harassed. Girl. I really just wanted, as I've said multiple times, the only thing I wanted was to be left alone and in peace to finish my dissertation work, Brash said unironically before, and these are not my words, breaking into tears. I just wanted to be left alone. I wanted the harassment to stop, Brash said. Girl. No one was even thinking of your burnt umber 80s goth self, and here you had to go bringing you up again. How very Mayopolitan of you. I bet you have a gold Starbucks card. I bet Uggs named a boot after you. I bet American Eagle.
Yeah.
I bet American Eagle has you on a no returns list. I bet Yankee Candle smells you coming. like the song goes. How can we miss you
if you won't go away?
And I got excoriated by my sister, you know, who thought that that article was trash. And, you know, she went all, she lives in a bubble in New York City, okay? And she wanted to turn me on to the Joe Rogan Experience and Barry Weiss. And I'm like, oh, cringe. But the comments, I posted that because it was fucking funny. It was just like, there was a couple of other comments. You know, she looks like a cross between Richard Smith and Marilyn Manson. You know, the love child of Richard Smith and Marilyn Manson. What was the other comment? This reboot of Beetlejuice sucks. And then she goes and, you know, she posts like a dozen videos, you know, of her on YouTube, you know, lamenting her plight, you know, and somebody takes.
Well, what she's doing, she's desperately trying to get picked up by like a. You know, that
GoFundMe page.
That website that rhymes with light and fart, you know.
Yeah, she's got a GoFundMe page. And then when you go to her Twitter account, it's all, you know, ranting about social justice warriors and, you know. And then, you know, my sister didn't, you know, research this. Didn't, you know, she's just in New York and, you know, she's lives in a white bubble in New York. And, you know, she's like... trying to defend this woman. I'm like, no, this woman is not a victim. I'm sorry.
Nope, not at all.
I'm sorry, you know, it's like, what, you know, no, the theme, getting back to the theme, you know, you don't choose your family members, but I think my sister's just gone way off the deep end, man.
Well, it's holiday season. We're coming into the holiday season, so this is the time in which we contemplate those realities.
I thought I knew her. I guess not. You know? No. Getting back to the theme, you don't choose your family. You choose your friends, but you don't choose your family. That's for sure. I mean, wow. You know, she wanted to make that equivalent to the story of the manager. I think it was in Minneapolis that got fired and then reinstated because she wouldn't serve these customers, these black customers that would dine and dash. And they had boasted on social media that they were dining and dashing, you know, and then, of course, to get back to the management of the restaurant, or the Chipotle's. It was the Chipotle's. And the manager was reinstated because it was clearly not a racist thing. It wasn't. She wasn't calling on, you know, she wasn't calling the cops on them. She just wouldn't serve them until they paid up, you know, because they had done that before to the restaurant. But no, I'm not going to serve you until you pay up, you know?
Sure, sure. Of course, so then, I mean, if you want to talk about restaurant stories, though, there's the
but she wanted to compare Sarah Brash's story to that story, and that's like apples and what?
Apples and
zucchinis?
Yeah, kumquats. Those are still fruits. No. did you see the Buffalo Wild Wings story?
Yeah. I glanced over it then.
It's disgusting that you know we have to deal with this in 2019. I'm trying to remember where that particular Buffalo Wild Wings was. I'm looking it up now. Yeah, there it is. It was near Chicago, Naperville, Illinois.
Oh, Naperville. That area of Illinois is notoriously racist. Naperville, Cicero.
The dateline in the story from USA Today is Aurora, Illinois, famous as being the home of the cable access channel that brought us Wayne's World.
Mm.
But a group of children were at Buffalo Wild Wings for a birthday party.
Oh, they were children.
Some of them were children, yeah. And there were a group of African-American customers, and they were told to change tables because they were seated near a customer who said he did not like sitting near black people.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that they've got a history of problems. And now corporate is saying, this is certainly not how we are. And we're looking into this with all deliberate speed. And you're
didn't
right.
Didn't they fire the managers?
I think they did, yeah.
They fired the managers, and they banned the racists from the restaurant for life, which I don't see how that's a punishment since their food sucks anyway.
I'm so old I can remember when BW3's wings were really good. Now they're just an overcapitalized chain.
Yeah, I went there once and I wasn't impressed. They had one on State Street in Madison. I mean, I used to go there with my friends, right?
Yeah.
For trivia night. You know, you get a pitcher and, you know, and play trivia on these little consoles, whatever they have, that they pass around. But I never thought that their food was that stellar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not something you want to eat on a regular basis anyway. But, you know, They got a reputation as like Denny's, I guess. I don't think that's the first time.
Think of it as the Denny. I think of BW3 now as the Denny's of wings.
The Denny's of wings.
Justin Vall was one of the grown-ups at the party. And when he walked into the restaurant with 20 other people, the host asked him what race he was. And he said, why does that matter? The host replied, we have a regular customer here who doesn't want to sit around black people. In 2019.
Instead of telling the racist customer, well, we don't need your business. Have a nice day.
Yeah, or, you know, welcome to 2019.
Exactly.
God. Well, I guess that means, and it's not like there's one around here, but I used to go, when I'd go up to Morgantown and stuff, I'd pop in at theirs. And no. Well, no, there's one in Beckley. So, no, I won't go.
Are they a Southern chain? Or?
No, they're very national.
Oh.
But
Did they start in the South or something?
No, they started on college campuses.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it was, I mean, the first one I ever went to was in...
The sports bar.
It was in Morgantown. And how they morphed into a place where you take children for a birthday party, I'll never know. Maybe if the pizza was better at Chuck E. Cheese's, it wouldn't be that way, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, God, that pizza's awful.
Yeah, no, horrible. I think it's frozen.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've gone there with, you know, friends whose kids had birthday parties there. You know, I just went to make them company. But, wow. No, not impressed.
No, not at all.
I got
to ask you: are you guys getting hammered by the first big Canadian invasion of the season?
The snow?
Yeah.
We had a couple of inches, yesterday. I think it was overnight, and it didn't really stick. But it's like 20 degrees, you know, feels like 10 outside right now, which I don't mind.
Yeah, it's been in the 30s outside all day, but this studio faces south, and it is 64 degrees in here right now, which is actually not bad. That's real tolerable for me. The other upside to my doctor appointment today, I've shed a few pounds. Which is awesome.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know, that's a hard thing to do. One of the side effects of one of the pills that I take is weight gain. I don't know if it's the carvedilol or the amlodipine, but I think it was the amlodipine that you can get gain weight or something like that. But you know what? It's like anything. You know, my doctor tells me, don't read the side effects. Don't trust me, you know,
because you'll make yourself
crazy. Like, you don't read the comments.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't just stay out of the comments. Stay out of the side effects. But the side effects are inescapable now if you happen to turn on a television.
Right. No, but he, and I trust him with my life. I mean, this guy is from Bangladesh. I tutored his kids in Spanish, and he's just a sweet guy. He sees me pro bono.
Well, they had a fine damn Spanish tutor. But what? No Portuguese?
No, I helped the kids, both kids, with Spanish, and now they're in college in Madison, and one went to California, and God, time flies. But
it does at that.
But the good doctor, you know, he got it right after a couple of titrations. So I know exactly how much to take. You know, he started me off on a small dose because you want to take the least amount of that stuff that you can,
right,
and still have an effect. And so he started me off on half, and then, you know, he got me a pill cutter, and you know. And then he upped it a little bit, and he got it just right. And now my blood pressure is stable.
Beautiful. I mean, mine stayed really good, you know, 120, 130 over, you know, 70, 75, seldom over 80. And just for the last 3 months, no. And
stress.
Yeah, stress. And we had no problem agreeing that, yes, it was stress.
Yeah, stress can do it. Stress can make everything out of whack, your numbers, everything. But, yeah, but that was the funny thing. I laughed, you know, because he said, he looked at me really seriously, and he said, don't look at the side effects.
That's just funny.
Like, you know, I know what I'm fucking doing. You know, it's like he's saying, I know what I'm fucking doing. And, you know, because he knows I'm a hypochondriac, and I'm going to, you know.
Well, but like I said, you're bombarded by side effects with every drug commercial, and there's a drug commercial every 7 minutes on TV now.
Exactly.
May cause harbulary thyroid cancer.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, you know, that's like, and I mean, the reason was, you know, that they gave was that simply, you know, those side effects that they cite are like 5.0005%, you know, here and there, and for the most part, you know, these medicines, what he prescribed me at least, these are old medicines. They're not like the newfangled Me Too drugs.
Yeah.
You know, this is stuff that has been around for a long time already. And I'm just glad he figured it out, because when I went to the dentist in 2017, in October of 2017, the dentist did not want to see me. She said, I'm not going to, you know, she put a resin in my, which is still there. Instead of a filling, she put a resin, which is worked just fine. But she did not want to, you know, give me an anesthesia and take out the drill and everything. No, 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 no. She said, no, you take care of that high blood pressure first, then come and see me. Because it was like 200 over 80 or something. It was like something stupid, you know.
Yeah.
It was a balloon. It was, you know, stratospheric. And, you know, it's been 2 years now that I've been on medication. And I'm very fortunate, because I know that there are people that have a very hard time getting their blood pressure under control. He still wants me to not smoke or drink, you know. But
tell him you're doing the best you can.
I am. I'm down, you know. I seldom have more than 5 cigarettes a day, and this is someone that was smoking a pack a day. Okay.
Yeah, that's way the hell down.
And in the winter I hardly smoke at all, because when it's 40 below outside, you know, you just don't want to go out for a smoke.
No, it's not. No. Boy. I tried doing that once on one of it was February in Wisconsin, and you know, the snow hadn't fallen recently, so it was just kind of laying there being real hard and crunchy. But it was 15 below. And it was 15 below in Odena, if you know where that is.
Yeah.
It's about as far north as you can go from Madison and still be in Wisconsin.
Wow. Is that like up in the Northwoods?
Yeah, yeah, it's right on the shores of Lake Superior.
Okay.
And
I've been to Madeline Island, Bayfield, that area.
Yeah, Odena is
breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah, Odena is where the Bad River Lodge and Casino is, which is where they put me up.
All right.
And
yeah,
I lost in July.
Yeah,
I lost interest. I completely lost interest in that cigarette, trying to smoke it in 15 below. Yeah, fuck it. I'll just chew it up. But it was a running gag, because I keep saying, one of these days I'm going to go, because I've only been there in cold weather, but you just told me it's that way in July. I keep saying I'm going to come up there sometime because I don't believe your trees ever actually have leaves on them.
No, they do. I'm just saying. God, I went there in '87, and then in the 2000s, I can't remember. But I remember I thought I'd go swimming, right? Because it was warm. It was a warm July. It wasn't very warm, but it was. I thought I'd go for a dip in Lake Superior, and I found just like Jesus, I could walk on water too. I jumped out of there so fast. But what's fascinating is that the water is like crystal clear, and you can see all the way to the bottom. It's just like, wow.
Oh no, they are, and that's why they fight so hard to keep it that way.
It's just so beautiful. That whole area is just, you take it in, and it's just. It's you go into a sort of aesthetic shock, when your eyes fall on that scene, because it's breathtakingly beautiful.
And there's a coffee shop in Ashland. I think I've mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's named after the bar in W.C. Fields, the Bank Deck, because it's called the Black Cat.
Oh.
And they make or at least it's just a lovely coincidence, but they go every day and they fetch water from an artesian well, and they make their coffee with that artesian well water.
Wow.
And it's just magic.
Yeah, I need to go up there again. I might check to see if a friend of mine still has a cabin up there. I don't know, but yeah. So, what do you think of Bolton? Is he going to testify? Is he not going to testify? And
well, I mean, he said as long as the courts will give him sanction to do it, that he will.
But I think the delicious irony, if his testimony was damaging enough to, because he's no left winger,
Oh no, he's we're all through the looking glass on this, because he's a warmonger.
He's a cold warrior as they can get. I mean, but wow, it'd be great. I mean, if somebody of that stature, I guess you could say, that conservative stature, would bring down, Trump. I mean, that'd just be ironic to the
hilt. But let's be clear. Nothing. The Republicans have said they don't give a fuck about the Constitution. And in fact, yeah. when he had his maggot rally in Louisiana last night, they brought up John Kennedy, the senator, who accused Nancy Pelosi of being stupid.
Being what?
Stupid.
Oh. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, that's really classy.
Yeah, isn't it just?
Mm-hmm. Well, he was the one that, called Maxine Waters very low IQ.
No, that was Trump. I'm talking about Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana said Nancy Pelosi is stupid.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just thinking, and Trump called, this is the level of discourse that we have now.
Yeah, that's where we are.
That's where we are now. And such decorum, right?
Civility, even.
Yeah, but I'm... you know, with all the people, Jovanovic and the colonel of the decorated Purple Heart guy.
Vindman.
I mean, all those people coming out of the woodwork now and saying, you know, this ain't, you know, copacetic. Doesn't that give you hope? I know that's an awful word. Doesn't...
Well, it's kind of like what Sandra said earlier about the booing. It reminds you that we have not gone over into full-on 200-proof fascism. That's really the best I can say under the circumstances.
Okay, yeah, because I know, like belief and hope, and those are loaded words.
Yeah,
but
no, there's enough reason to think that we've got a fighting chance to remove his orange ass come 361 days from now.
I mean,
that's about as good as I can get it.
So, all things being equal, you know,
yeah.
And they're not. But that's where I'm at. I mean, I want to stay positive because this time of year, it's not a good time to be negative. It's dark outside, and you want to be positive. You know?
Yeah. Because you know, between now and the solstice are the grim days. When when the days grow shorter and shorter and shorter, and then once the solstice here, we can celebrate the rebirth of the sun. Hey Flavio, I'm going to roll on, my friend, but you know, stay warm.
It's been great talking with you as usual.
It's always a joy.
And keep the faith, keep it lit, as Mike Malloy says. And
yeah, and the other part, watch your back.
And watch your back, absolutely. You take good care, my friend. Have a good night.
All right, thanks a bunch. Later, Flavio.
Bye.
My buddy Flavio calling from up in Far La Crosse. And I think we've got Tracy back. And here at the with an hour to go in the program, Tracy's challenge is still on the table. If Tracy's challenge is met, and remember, this is the I love my mother so much I'm dealing with fools challenge. If Tracy's challenge is met, well, that'll knock out half of tonight's goal. And then Tracy says she'll add an undisclosed amount just to keep things interesting. So I think we've got her back. Are you there, Tracy?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. I don't know where you went last time.
It's called fucking my iPhone brand new motherfucking updated AT&T combination of a bullshit phone.
Ah.
That's what it's called.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That part,
yeah, where you had to get the screen fixed on the other day.
Oh god! Yes, you had to remind me of that. And you know what? It's just like, you know, Apple hates the fact that I've had my phone for 3 years without incident and all the, you know, and I just refuse to get a new phone because I have a 7 Plus. I like the size of the phone. I like the size of the screen and all that. And so just a little while ago, I was doing stuff and somehow my phone charger in my car stopped working. And I'm like, fuck. And I was nowhere near home. And I wasn't going to spend, you know, money to go buy a new charger. And I'm like, fuck, I need to go to the Apple store to get a new charger, you know, just to charge my phone. Because, you know, they got a bunch of chargers just sitting around, you know. So, and it just happened to be the weekend when the new, what's the new phone? 11, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So, it was that weekend. And so, I went in, and of course, there was a line, and I'm like, well, can I go in just to charge my phone? I don't need help with it. I can't just, you know, unplug it and charge your phone. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the iPhone 11. That bitch is smaller than my phone. the new iPhones are smaller than my 7 Plus. They said, well, the screen is bigger. I'm like, I don't see how that screen is
well,
bigger.
But it is because your iPhone 7 Plus has head space and chin space, and it's gone.
Right.
And so it's all screen. It's more or less all screen now, with the exception of the notch, the dreaded notch.
I don't like that. I don't like it. I'm looking at it side by side with my phone, and I'm like, yeah, you only pay $13.
And the really high capacity one is also $1,400 damn dollars.
That part.
Ouch.
It's a phone, people.
Yeah, I know. It's all, but it's also a. It's a status symbol.
And you know, eventually I'm gonna. But see, here's the thing. My phone keeps getting, update. There is something happening with my phone. Even before my screen broke, you know, with the screen, the letter when I type it, there's a whole bunch of things that it's doing. And I know I need a new phone, but I'm just, you know, holding out against hope that I can just, you know, because remember, I bought myself, I got an Apple Watch for my birthday. And so, and I got the Series 4. What's out now? The new one is the 5, right? Yes. So I got the 4 because the 5 came out after I bought the 4. And so I'm almost finished paying for that. And I'm just holding out hope that my phone lasts at least long enough that I finish paying for my fucking watch.
Well, you know, as long as the battery holds, that's always the big problem.
Like, you know, and my battery kind of sucks, but again, it's an iPhone, and you just carry. I finally went ahead and bought one of those portable phone chargers that you just carry with you, so when your phone just says, fuck it, I'm not going to, you know, you need to charge me, and you're nowhere near a power source, you just carry it with you. So I went ahead and bought one of those. I could just, you know, I'm a girl, so I could, and I'm, yes, I'm a lesbian, but I'm a lesbian that carries the purse. So remember, I was a straight girl for a very long time before I became a lesbian, and this straight girl carried the purse, which makes Jan very happy because my wife, yeah, not so much a purse carrier. Mm-mm-mm. So, you know, I told her that you just married me because I carry a purse. So you can throw your shit in my purse. So, you know, I'm like, so I carry a purse. So
wait a minute. Wait. Is that up there with, is that the same kind of behavior with, I'm ordering some French fries. Well, hey, do you want some French fries? No, I'll just eat some of yours. No, you won't.
No, yeah.
But you're carrying a purse. Why should we both carry a purse? I mean, is that what that is?
No, no, she would never carry a purse ever.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's I'll just eat some of your fries.
Right, exactly. It's like, no, bitch, it's my fries. And if I carry it, if I do, especially since I'm on Weight Watchers, and if I choose to eat fries, you will not get any of my fries. Fuck you, no. They're my fries. Like, today, like I was trying to talk about, to El Coyote, because, you know what, my brother.
And that's the place
Atlanta,
with the awesome,
you know,
guacamole, right?
Yeah.
Just checking.
And the really good margaritas. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, my brother misses living in Atlanta is damn good Mexican food. And on occasion, because being the evil cow that I can be, I send some pictures of Mexican food. And his response is, you know, that's just not nice. And I'm like, I know. It's just to make you bring your ass home to visit every so often, you know, more often. So before he leaves, we must go to have Mexican food. But like I said, we're supposed to go tonight. But he's like, nah, because we went and had, you know, deli. And he hunkered down over a pastrami sandwich slathered, you know, with deli mustard. And then we had matzo ball soup and all sorts of stuff. So I just got a call.
Now, is it authentic matzo ball soup with, like, one matzo ball the size of a baseball?
Talk of baseball, talking about softball, bitch.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, then it's the real deal.
Baseball, yeah. Come on. Who are you playing with a baseball? Come on, play.
Yeah.
No.
That blew my mind the first time. I had matzo ball soup at Katz's in New York. Yeah, I was like, wait. I mean, there's one matzo ball, for God's sakes.
You don't. I mean, I got matzo balls. Jan got.
It was so damn dense, but it was beautiful. I felt like I'd eaten an entire loaf of bread by the time I was done.
Well, what we should have done, really, my mom and I and Jan should have just gotten. One of us should have just gotten chicken noodle soup. I mean, all three of us should have gotten chicken noodle soup, and just one person got a matzo ball. Because
here's the question: do they have a respectable borscht?
I don't know because I don't do borscht. I've never had borscht.
You really should try.
Because I know it's beets and stuff like that. Yes.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. It's cold
and it's sour cream and
yeah,
stuff
and dill and oh yeah, it's wonderful.
And I'm not a dill fan. I think we've had this conversation. Not as bad as I have to think about mayonnaise, but no. But, now they do have a mean potato knish. Whew. Jesus help my soul. But, all these things, of course, is not, And actually, it's a good thing that we did not go to El Coyote tonight because tomorrow's my weigh-in day, and the last couple of weeks have not been very good. Like, last week, I gained 6 ounces. I know. 6 ounces is no big deal, but for somebody who has been continuously losing weight since June, it was a slap in the face. And then last week, the week before I gained 6 ounces, last week I only lost 4 ounces. So I was on a mission. And we had deli today, and Jan and I actually split a sandwich. So I didn't, splitting, the sandwich was so huge that I ate a half of the half a sandwich, and I was still full. It was just that much food.
Whoa!
So yeah. So
well, that's like I was telling Flavio, I'm now 6'2" and 225. So I was actually down.
I weigh more than you. I still fucking weigh more than you, and I'm sorry. I yelling?
No, I'm sorry. That's actually it's down.
Okay. I know, and I'm so happy and proud of you, and I'm happy for you. But it just pisses me off. Not because it just makes me crazy, and people don't realize. I mean, because I'm in really good shape now, and I've lost a fucking lot of weight. But it's so amazing to me, that people who are taller men, I weigh more than a lot of men, and I'm only 5'5", and I weigh, what do I weigh now? 233. I'm not that far away from you. So actually,
what scares me about the prospect of quitting smoking is that I'll probably balloon. I'll balloon right up, and I can't stand that idea.
Yeah, and seeing that we've talked about you starting to exercise, and it's not like. Like right now, because when I go home, I'm going to go for a quick walk because I only walked a mile today. I power walked a mile in under 16 minutes. So I'm really working on getting it. So I'm going to do a quick walk tonight before I do dinner. And it's like, I know I've lost weight this week, just so. My scale says that when I weighed myself this morning, my scale says I weigh 227, but then it keeps fluctuating. So I don't know. But when I get to 225, that means I've lost 52 pounds, that part. And that means
that's going to be tremendous. And you're going to be there. You're going to be there in no time.
And I know I am.
Oh, but now we've got another pitch here. Scott in San Diego, food, glorious food. If and when we ever get Bob and Tracy down here together in San Diego, two restaurants we must visit: DZ Aiken's, an incredible deli, and Tio Leo's, a real Mexican place.
Oh,
I still want to go to that Mexican place that's got the the drunk making Oakley. You know, the sticky stuff.
The who?
What's the Spanish word for it? The Nahuatl word is Oakley. It's fermented maguey syrup. It's what the people of the Triple Alliance in the Valley of Mexico, that's now Mexico City, it's what they drank to get fucked up on before the Spanish arrived and ruined everything.
And just fucked everything up. White people.
Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you this. Mayonnaise problem and everything. What the hell do you make the macaroni salad with? Oh, wait, stop. We dropped the damn Bluetooth. Okay, now you're back.
What happened?
The Bluetooth dropped, but no, what do you pull the macaroni salad together with if not mayonnaise?
I told you I put mayonnaise in a macaroni salad. Don't start with me, white man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just trying to reinforce things here. I mean, there are exceptions to all rules, right?
There's exceptions to the rule. It's just like I said. But it's not like I make macaroni salad that often.
Right. Pickles?
You know.
Pickles? In the
yeah.
Celery?
Yes. Yes.
Onions?
Yes.
Okay. Green peppers?
And egg,
bell peppers?
No.
But boiled egg?
Yes.
I'll take cards in that.
Is this a potato salad with macaroni?
Yeah, it's not like you're knocking out the carbs and starches by replacing the Jesus, I know.
No, it's this macaroni salad is easier than potato salad because you don't have to kill the bitches.
Bingo.
And cut up the potatoes and then you don't have to worry about you cooking the potatoes too long and they're too mushy or not long enough and it's too hard.
And elbow macaroni or something weird like bow ties or corkscrews or
whatever. Oh, shit. You know what? Fuck you, buddy. You know, just because I'm from California.
I thought it might, you know, out there, you know, you might be using like organic, free-range, vegan, cruelty-free spinach and artichoke pasta.
Fuck off. Did how many times have I told you where my people are from?
I know, but I mean, you stay out.
Can I not tell you that there are gingers coming to my house?
See, I wasn't even gonna bring up what you texted me in all caps.
Did I not tell you that there were, look, I'm only white people adjacent, okay?
You just got a little intersectional whiteness.
I only got it. And so that will not give me cover. That will not give me the cloak of protection. If I have brought my happy black ass, brought out anything with spinach, bow tie, bullshit, no corkscrew, nothing. It's either elbow macaroni or the little bitty macaroni. Oh, my God. Seriously, Bob? Come on.
Just checking.
Are you trying to get a big clue?
No, I'm just trying. I'm just making sure that you haven't lost touch and, you know, you're keeping it real.
With my... Shit. Man, I'm trying to get a bitch killed. I'm already considered bougie because I live in Encino, okay? I'm married to a white woman.
And by the way, that is the official name here. You know, I'm trying to. I got one of these little insulated steel bottles for my drinking water here in the studio now, and its official name is Bob's Bougie Bottle.
That's fucking awesome. Wait a minute, before I forget, Flavio, he's from Brazil, yes?
Yeah, yeah, of Portuguese extraction.
My hair, the guy that does my box. He is also from Brazil, and guess what his name is?
What?
Fabio.
Ah, he's Fabio? Yeah, and this is Flavio.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's a Fabio. But your hairdresser is a Fabio, like the guy that got the bird in the face on the roller coaster?
No, he's a fine chocolate brother. Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, name-wise, F-A-B-I-O.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. Oh, my God.
But all Fabio, all Fabios are well advised to avoid roller coasters at all costs.
Yeah, no, no, he's wonderful. He's, as a matter of fact, he just got back from Brazil yesterday. So yes, he's amazing. He speaks Spanish, Portuguese, French, German, all sorts of stuff. But as I'm about to bounce because I've got people waiting for me, and I'm hiding. But
and we're breathing, and we're centering, and in and out with the stress.
Out with the stress, and I'm remembering how much I love my mother, and I'm remembering that I'm not going to catch a case over ginger, and.
No mistaking family members for the children's pinata. Just, you know.
Yeah, we got another pinata, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to be fine. There's going to be food. There's going to be music. My mom's going to be happy because we're going to celebrate her. And that's all that matters. And.
Well, much love to Mama. The whole community owes her big time because she made it possible for you to be part of this here community.
Oh, see, now you say stuff like that, and it's, you know, you just, yeah.
I ain't just saying because shit.
I know, and if it wasn't for that 16-year-old girl having birthing me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all did the math. Mm-hmm, that part. Because she's 70 and I'm 53. Yep.
You and Agnes, 1966 girls,
66 babies, yales, and you know we are real Gen X's. You try, don't be trying to bogart on us, real Gen X's.
don't you be stuffing me back behind the boomer walls.
I was
12 when disco hit. Okay, so there's no boomer who can say that.
There's no boomer that can say that. But I just like fucking with you because you don't want to be, you know, because you know I don't believe it. Anybody that's that partied and like you said. If we weren't old enough to go to Studio 54 when Studio 54 was a thing, dude, I don't consider you can't be considered a baby boomer.
Yeah, see, that's where it gets confusing because by the on the other end of the metric, there's the fact that I am a child of World War II generation parents, the generation that fought World War II. I'm one of their kids, so that puts me at extremely late boomer.
Extremely late boomer.
But the fact that I sat there and pumped quarter after quarter into a Defender machine playing video games and never, well, oh God, I was terrible at Defender. Jesus. But,
I was terrible at video games. The only video game that I could play was Pong, and I didn't even do that very well.
Defender, I could cruise along. Until that first little alien that didn't fly in a normal flight pattern, but just came and just landed on your ass. They were unavoidable, at least to me.
Again, I don't video games to me not so much, and so it's like whatever. But you know,
well, I love the fact that they've brought, you know, you've got a second chance because at the big box stores they've brought back. They've got consoles that you just plug into the wall, no quarters, and they've got four classic video arcade games on each one. One of them's got like Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga, and I have to fight the urge to want one.
My son's not even home yet. He said he wasn't going to be home until late, but anywho.
Well, you have a lovely evening.
I was.
Breathe in, breathe out. Enjoy some macaroni salad for me. Throw a little hot sauce on. Just throw a little hot sauce on the macaroni salad. Just one bite, just for me, okay?
Just for you, because I know you.
I know you and hot.
You're an addict, but you know But you know what? So if you really, you know what I will do, because of you trying to quit smoking, and not trying, but you're going to quit, because I'm going to put it out there in the universe, you're going to quit. So I will keep your a steady supply. What's the name of that hot sauce that you like?
Oh, the yuzu? Yeah.
And now that I know that I can ship you stuff without being fucking reamed by your motherfucking UPS, those thieving motherfuckers that charge you a goddamn arm and a motherfucking leg to ship shit, and they don't deliver on Saturdays, and it take a motherfucking week to ship it to you, and then I go to the post office, and it's a third of the goddamn price, and it only takes 3 days, and they deliver on Saturdays. Fuck US UPS.
Go sorry. United States Postal Service, and I've got my bottle of drink. I got my bottle of sipping yuzu right here.
So I will keep you in a steady supply of yuzu while you are trying to stop smoking. So I will be your pusher. So just start hearing Curtis Mayfield.
All right.
In the back, when you think of me, I'm your pusher, man. You know.
Tracy, you have a good night, dear, and all our love to all the family, even the ones who don't deserve it.
These motherfuckers don't deserve shit.
We love you.
I love you.
Later.
Good night.
Bye. Bye. Oh, this has turned out to be a thorn in the side Thursday for the ages. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's me, Reggie, from the kid of Georgia, man.
What's happening, Reggie?
Well, did you see that asshole? I know you don't watch daytime morning television, but did you see that a-hole when an asshole got Jimmy on The View today?
Well, yeah, we were talking about that at the beginning of the program. Lady B wrote in about that, and I decided I wasn't going to play any clips of it because I wasn't going to give him the freebie. That motherfucker wants to be heard on this program, he can pay.
Right. And they were arguing with him about how he should be civil and how he should be civil, especially to Meghan McCain, whose late father Donald Trump attacked. She's saying, she almost came to tears when she said that they should restore civility to politics, and that his father attacked her late father and her whole entire family too. And then, you know, they challenged him about, you know, what he said, what he did, you know, and all the things that his father said and done. And he had his girlfriend on white Kim Guilfoyle up there. You know, the one who looks more like a transgender person than any transgender person I've ever seen.
Now, let's not go there. Let's not insult the trans. Let's not insult the trans population.
Well, I mean, I was talking about her, not them.
No, that's what I mean. But comparing her to the trans population is a serious smear on the trans folk.
So it's an insult to transgender people everywhere, right?
Right, exactly.
But anyway, he was on The View today trying to promote and sell his book, which nobody's going to read. If they do get it, I hope they use it as firewood, you know, fuel for their firewood if they have any houses with fireplaces still in them. You know, for this year, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and for New Year's, you know, just burn them in their fireplaces if they have them. You know, use them as fuel. And that he was going back and forth against Joy, Whoopi, and Abby, and Sonny, and of course Megan.
I don't know how you got the fortitude to just sit there and let that just come into your eyeballs, man. I'd have to run screaming. I would.
Right. Well, didn't they learn their lesson from having Judge and Pierre on their show? As you would say, Bob, why would they do it? Why would they put these idiots on their show?
Well, Well, yeah. If you'd heard the first part of the program, you'd know that the reason that they do that is it's strictly transactional. They're just helping him hustle a book.
Right. They are helping him hustle a book. And anybody else who would hustle their books or anything else, I guess they would help them too. But they really went after him, and they didn't let up, especially Joy and Whoopi, and Sonny too. They didn't let up. Abby and Megan just sat there quietly until the subject of her late father came up. So then Megan spoke up.
Well, I tell you what, if you if, Yeah, we have these little dust ups on American TV, but they do it real in Brazil. Okay.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Glenn Greenwald went on TV in Brazil after he'd been attacked by a so-called journalist who is a big supporter of the thug down there, Jair Bolsonaro. The guy's name is Nunes. And he said Glenn Greenwald was tweeting about how he had a bunch of questions for him because Nunes had suggested that a juvenile court judge should investigate Greenwald and his husband, a lawmaker from Brazil, over allegations of neglect of their adopted children. So Greenwald called him a coward two or three times on TV, and the guy just slugged him in the face.
Oh, and you mean the guy slugged Greenwald
the pro-fascist writer slugged Greenwald right in a kisser.
Has he been charged with assault yet?
Oh no, and he won't be because you know Brazil is in the grips of a fascist thug, and so he hit Glenn Greenwald. In defense of the fascist thug, and so the fascist thug will probably give him a goddamn medal.
Right. I'm surprised Greenwald didn't respond in kind. Because most people would have responded in kind. You think you're gonna let somebody just hit you and get away with that?
It was on national TV.
Yeah. So I guess he just took the L, right? He took that slugging. Greenwald. But over here, he would have been charged with assault, correct, Bob?
Yeah, I'm looking at... he takes a swing at him sitting down, then they stand up, Greenwald pushes him back, and he takes another swing at him.
Yeah.
Ah, Jesus.
But over here, he would have been charged with assault. The reporter, not, you know, because he started it first.
It's not that... It's hard to say. I don't know what the Brazilian laws are. It could be that that Greenwald offended his honor or some such antiquated bullshit like that, and that entitled the guy to take a swing at him. But Jesus. Then again, if it gets good ratings, you can just about bet that there's a TV executive somewhere here. Look, Jerry Springer, please.
Yeah, Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah.
Right?
Taking swing. Yeah, sure.
Geraldo Rivera.
Right.
And his honor. His honor. What are we in the British Royals still? His honor? is this the British Royals still? I thought that was over there.
Yeah, well,
not here.
Well, we did it here too, Reggie, in a big way.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, Hamilton and Burr. Then Alexander Hamilton's son got killed. No, we did it plenty over here. I talked about it a good bit a week or so ago. But But where this stuff is concerned, sometimes you get some interesting content out of it. But when you know that there's a bit of a your Don Juniors get invited on for a very specific reason.
Yeah, to sell a book.
Bingo.
To sell a book. He was also on the Dana show with Dana Lush selling the book too.
She still got one?
Dana.
I thought they cut her ass loose.
She has a radio talk show still. And she lives in Dallas, Texas, you know.
You say that so fun. Texas.
Yeah, Texas. That's where she lives at.
Yeah.
And you know, they still have a radio talk show, Bob. And like you said, they have more radio talk shows than our side does because I guess they're willing to pay more, you know, or they're willing to sell their soul to the devil, so to speak. What do you think, Bob?
It's just capitalism.
And he calls Antifa, and he calls those people on our side Antifa thugs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still obsessed with that for some strange reason. I don't know why.
Well, because it provides something with which to keep the ignorant maggots worked into a frothy white lather. That's the bottom
right.
of it.
And they accuse us of having Trump derangement syndrome. Well, aren't these the exact same guys that have Obama derangement syndrome for the past
Clinton derangement? Yeah, and over a decade of Clinton derangement syndrome. Sure. Yeah.
Right. They're the same people who should get help for that. Psychiatric help.
Exactly.
For their,
All right, Reggie, you have yourself a good evening, my friend. We will talk soon, all right?
All right, man.
All right, later now. Take care.
Bye.
It's our buddy Reggie calling from Decatur, Georgia. Eileen in New York with a message for Tracy. Tell Tracy that muscle weighs way more than fat. When I danced, I weighed 135. Now the exact same size clothes, I weigh 115. So, yep, there's that. Muscle, by the way, is good. Just a gentle reminder, we have about 25 minutes left in the program, and Tracy's challenge is still on the table and unmet and untouched. It would be great if we were not going into tomorrow evening at $400. So, well, we'll cross fingers. A little bit of something resembling good news. Yesterday, I talked about how Matt Bevins, that weird, freaky, strange, maggoty dude, maggot bro, governor of Kentucky, I talked about how he was planning on trying, and he and his Republican cronies were trying to lay the groundwork to steal the Kentucky stand governor's race outright. Well, will wonders never cease? Some Republicans in Kentucky actually started pushing back. Jason Neems, a member of the Kentucky House, he's from Louisville, said the best thing to do, the right thing to do, is for Governor Bevin to concede the election today so we can move on. If there's evidence of fraud or illegalities, as was alluded to last night, Governor Bevin should state his claim immediately and let the evidence be reviewed. But this is not an opportunity for a fishing expedition or a chance to overturn the election result. Another Republican, John Blanton, said there was no evidence of election irregularities whatsoever, adding, the last thing anyone wants to do is overturn a constitutional election. We want the will of the people to be done. Those must be some of your smarter Republicans, because they realize that going down that road with Bevin would vitiate the national Republican argument that you can't overturn the will of the people with some kind of goddamned impeachment. On the other hand, Bevin is still out there hooting and hollering that thousands of absentee ballots were illegally counted. That is known. The only problem is there's no actual support for the claim except in the fervid imaginings of the thin gray settlings that slosh around between Matt Bevin's ears and pass for brains. And then there was the little piece of news that came out earlier today about the final settlement of the Trump Foundation scam. New York Attorney General Letitia James announced today that the Supreme Court of the state of New York ordered Nitwit Nero to pay $2 million to 8 nonprofit organizations in settlement of the state's lawsuit against he and his sketchy family foundation. The court finding that Nitwit Nero and his three spawn persistently abused the family charity in furtherance of his, Nitwit Nero's, political goals. Noah Bookbinder of Crewe said, "Today's settlement of the suit brought by the New York Attorney General's office is a fitting and poetic end to this scandal." Letitia James said, "The court's decision, together with the settlements we negotiated, are a major victory in our efforts to protect charitable assets and hold accountable those who would abuse charities for personal gain." The Trump Foundation has shut down. Funds that were illegally misused are being restored. The president will be subject to ongoing supervision by my office. Ooh, that's got a sting. And the Trump children had, this is the best part, the Trump children, Letitia James called them children. The Trump children had to undergo, you know, those are some 30 and damn near 40-year-old children there. The Trump children will have to undergo compulsory training to ensure this type of illegal activity never takes place again. Letitia James added, "My office will continue to fight for accountability because no one is above the law, not a businessman, not a candidate for office, and not even the President of the United States." So much winning. Just not by Trump or his greedy, nasty little gits. Because, see, Trump was named in the suit. Beavis was named in the suit. Butthead was named in the suit. And Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump was named in the suit. Because they all engaged in fraud. They ran a scam and called it a charitable foundation. And it was so bad that they wound up agreeing back in December 2018 to dissolve the family foundation, the family scam. The beneficiaries will be, because this stems out of promises that were made at a so-called fundraiser, that didn't raise any funds for charity. The Trump Foundation, $1.78 million in assets and $2 million in damages coming from Donald Trump. Shit, I wonder what he had to sell. The assets are going to be given to Army Emergency Relief, the Children's Aid Society, City Meals on Wheels, Given Hour, Martha's Table, the United Way of the National Capital Area, and the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. And as an extra good stick and twist, and you know this just burns him the fuck up, the United Negro College Fund. Because just because Donald Trump's mind is wasted doesn't mean everybody else's has to be. Ooh, the goddess of irony had to work hard on that one. And it all got started when Trump used the Family Foundation to pay off Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of Florida, to keep her out of the Trump University lawsuit. As noted previously, a couple of days ago, Pam Bondi has joined the Trump impeachment defense team. Well, how about that, sports fans? Yes, says Jim. Bingo. Yahtzee. Jim reminding us, I was 33 in 1978. Good times, Bob. Jim did go to Studio 54. And let's run back over to let's run back over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Yeah. Hey.
You there?
Yep. Right here.
Carl from Western Mass.
I recognize your voice.
You get my little present.
I haven't been over to the mailbox yet.
Okay. I was trying to call you last week to tell you that it was on its way, but.
We're going over tomorrow, so I'll be hitting the mailbox.
All right. Okay. You'll like it. It's getting to be that time of the year. Hey, you know what I would think? It's really nice that when Trump and all those little minions, except for the one who nobody remembers.
Tiffany.
Maybe she'll... Tiffany. Maybe when she's the only one who's not going to be in jail. I don't think Boron will be in jail, though.
No, he's too young yet.
Yeah, but I'm hoping she gets married to a liberal.
That would
rub it in his face.
That would be fun.
Yes. So, but all right, that's all I had to say.
Well, I will. I'll be hitting the mailbox tomorrow. We've got to go to Beckley, so I've got a couple other things to pick up too. Good to hear from you, Carl.
All right.
You take care.
Yeah, I had a 3-hour commute from Boston tonight, so I'm kind of tired.
Oh my God, that is People don't realize there's a lot of Massachusetts between the New York line and, you know, Boston.
95 miles. Well, I'm not New York line. I'm right by the Connecticut River.
Oh, okay.
So it's not really on the line.
Oh, but wait.
I'm in between.
95 miles was a 3-hour commute.
Yes, it was. Traffic was going about 10, 15 miles an hour for quite a long time.
Oh, that had to be delightful.
I'm almost centered between Albany and Boston.
Okay.
I could get to Albany in an hour and 20 minutes. So that's not really that bad.
And Boston in 3. Oh, man, you have my sympathies, yeah. Carl.
Yes. And it's not getting any better. But all right. You have a nice night.
All right. Thanks, Carl. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Yeah, out toward the western end of Massachusetts. I know what that feels like. I remember when it took 8 hours to get from Washington, D.C. to Richmond a couple of summers back. That was a real party. That was back when I remembered that I really should get an easy pass, which I still haven't remembered to get. It's like that. Now, what's this, a movie question from Scott? Last night I watched Kubrick's classic film, Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, on demand on TCM. Which key character displays the most Trump-like madness? General Jack D. Ripper, Sterling Hayden, General Buck Turgidson, George C. Scott, Major T.J. King Kong, Slim Pickens, or Dr. Strangelove, Peter Sellers himself? You know, I think I've actually pondered that before. And I think it's probably Buck Turgidson. Now you stay right there, baby, and old General Bucky'll be right back before you can say blast off. I know too many lines from that film. Oh, and I mentioned that the settlement not in his favor. Of the suit against the Trump Foundation. Well, it didn't sit well with Nitwit Nero. So today he called it 4 years of politically motivated harassment. And yet he was too much of a chicken shit to litigate it. Yeah, this is beautiful. I mean, in a Trumpian sort of ignorant piece of shit kind of way. I am the only person I know, perhaps the only person in history, who can give major money to charity, $19 million, charge no expense, and be attacked by the political hacks in New York State. No wonder why we're all leaving.
Every penny of the $19 million raised by the Trump Foundation went to hundreds of great charitable causes with almost no expenses except for the money that I used from the Trump Foundation to pay to buy a 6-foot-tall portrait of me, which I hung in my tacky-ass club at Mar-a-Lago. I added that part. The New York Attorney General is deliberately mischaracterizing the settlement for political purposes. In fact, the court rejected the Attorney General's frivolous request for statutory penalties, interest, and other damages. It's been 4 years of politically motivated harassment, first by lightweight A.G. Schneiderman prior to his resignation for beating up women, then A.G. Underwood, who was impossible to deal with, and now A.G. Letitia James, who does not acknowledge that we gave 100% of the funds to great charities but refuses to investigate the Clinton Foundation with all of its problems. All they found was incredibly effective philanthropy and some small technical violations like my painting, such as not keeping board minutes. We resolved the case with the understanding that all money previously in the foundation has gone to charity. I'm therefore happy to donate $2 million to the following worthy charities: Army Emergency Relief, Children's Aid Society, City Meals on Wheels, Give an Hour, Martha's Table, United Way of Capital Area, the U.S. Holocaust Museum, and the United Negro College Fund. Yeah, see, that is almost 100% lie. He got busted. And he had to pay to save his nasty little gits, who then had to go to how not to commit fraud school. So just to sort of keep things in perspective, let's note that an actual member, and before I say this, let's remember, James Madison said that the President of the United States should be impeachable for the bad acts of the people that he appoints to do things in his administration. And we now have an actual advisor to the president, you know, Princess Iwanka my daddy Trump, who has been found to have committed financial fraud and had to go to the financial equivalent of drunk school after a DUI, so that hopefully Princess Iwanka my daddy Trump, along with Beavis and Butthead, can learn not to do that anymore. And the other part of that is, having been to school, when they do it again, not if, but when they do it again, they will have no excuses. What a shitbird. And now there's another reason why Don Jr. wound up on The View today, to talk about how aggrieved he is and what a bunch of sissy panty-waist snowflakes those libtards are, and try to keep the heat off the fact that he got stoned, you know, he and Kuse and Princess Iwanka got stone cold busted for charity fraud. Lock them up, lock them up, lock them up. Oh, and by the way, interesting stuff coming out of the Roger Stone trials beginning yesterday. A member of the Department of Justice, formerly on Mueller's team, who's now just a regular garden variety prosecutor back at the DOJ, in his opening statement, made a case, or said that the government will make the case, that Donald Trump lied to Mueller in his written answers to questions when he claimed that he had no recollection of any
conversations with Roger Stone about the WikiLeaks email theft. Somewhere along the way, you got to think that's not going to play real well with Bill Barr to prosecution. Or maybe it's getting hot enough in there that Bill's thinking that he'd like to keep his law license for the rest of his life more than he would like for Donald Trump to stay president of the United States. It may be too late. But that was a hell of a thing. And here's something interesting. Remember, Michael Cohen is sitting in a federal prison because he agreed at the urging of others to tell a pathetic tissue of fiction and swear it that it was truth in front of the Congress of the United States. That's part of the same thing that Roger Stone is being tried for. What happens when you've got not one but two people who say that they went and stuck their hand in the air and the other one a Bible and swore to tell the truth and that they did it at the behest of a third party who is the president of the United States of America? That sure does seem like an impeachable offense to me. How about you? Oh, and the sweating begins. I mentioned the story earlier about the new book by the anonymous person, A Warning, that says that Mike Pencilneck Geek would probably sign off on a Section 4 letter. Well, Mike Pencilneck Geek got asked about it. Yeah, let's check in with old Helmet Hair himself.
I've got to ask you about a story that broke overnight, and a spokeswoman for your office is denying a claim in this upcoming anonymous tell-all book that you considered using the 25th Amendment to remove the President Trump from office. So I'd like to get it from the horse's mouth then, where you've stood on that.
When those rumors came out a few years ago, I dismissed them then. I never heard any discussion in my entire tenure as Vice President about the...
Wait, just a quick time out. Why is he describing his tenure as Vice President in the past tense? Past perfect tense. I never heard. Why not I have never heard? It's almost like he knows he's going to be thrown off the fucking ticket.
25th Amendment. And why would I? I mean, the record that we're celebrating today here in New Hampshire, the record that we're going to be taking all across this country is a testament to President Donald Trump's leadership.
Funny, when a guy, instead of saying no, answers your question with a question, why would I, inviting you to speculate upon his motives, like the fact that he's a religious maniac who probably thinks that the sweet fake baby Jesus up in heaven is looking at his daddy and saying, you know, I've thought all along, Dad, that Mike Pence was the right guy for the job. Yeah, Mike Pence thinks that, believes, not thinks, believes that. But he can't bring himself to say, no, I never did. He says, why would I? That there is what the poker players call a tell. Going back to the fraud case, Randy in PA says, maybe that's the way to punish Trump, with civil cases and monetary penalties. Oh, I have a feeling there's going to be more. And we're going to find out real quick that that $2 million check was not very easy for him to write. It may have even come out of somebody else's pocket. James in Illinois pointing out McConnell is distancing himself from Donnie. Mitch has been cheating, sliming, and killing legislation and nominees while trying to maintain the appearance of legitimacy. Ah. When the Don came in and began to make McConnell look like he wasn't even trying, I'm guessing Mitch has been feeling a bit squeamish. He owns the GOP, and he's worried that the Don is going to break it beyond its usefulness. It already has a terrible strain, a terrible stain, but it's at the risk of becoming a joke. We've been laughing at it for years. But there's a growing list of ex-Republicans who are proving beyond all doubt that there is an expiration date on all of this bullshit. Shorty in L.A. Children? Going back to the fraud case. Children? United Negro College Fund? Compulsory? Was this child court? LMAO. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Number 45 is the president's. Holy crap, that's court-ordered. Yeah, it's not optional. Something mandatory. And they had to go through it before the court would sign off on the settlement. It was a what the law calls a condition precedent. It had to happen before anything else could happen. Lady B says, just saw that article on Greenwald. That was terrible and shouldn't have happened. But let that be a lesson for social justice warriors who are so insulated from the dirt and grime of reality that they go to other countries, say incendiary things, and are surprised when someone literally hits back. That show wasn't goddamn CNN or any other milquetoast network newscast. There is no First Amendment in Brazil. That's not to say they can't engage in civil discourse. But like you said, that country is rapidly descending into fascism. Glenn should fucking know that. Not every country is America, even if they speak very good English. Greenwald and his husband live in Costa Rica. They probably have learned some pretty decent Spanish. No, they live in Brazil, Lady B, last I checked. But there's a reason they're there, and Glenn knows it. Glenn and his journalistic ilk have some extreme leftist views. To him, Hillary was the devil, and Sanders was a close second to her. Greenwald needs to pull back and reflect on what it is he's trying to accomplish. There are authoritarian types who would jail him in a second. And not just disagreeing for the sake of disagreeableness, but I'm not so sure Glenn Greenwald is that so much of a lefty. I'm not convinced at all. Lady B continues, and if he keeps up his purity brigade attitude towards the Democratic Party, he might sway enough liberal navel-gazers to vote third party again. It's that type of shit that'll turn us exactly into the damn type of country he's trying to help change. So step off your pedestal, Glenn. Fight the good fight, but know your audience. You're still an American. Be lucky it was only your face that got hurt, and not your ass spending a few months in jail, or I'll add, your corpse being found in a ditch. Because that shit happens. Here. You want a nightmare scenario? I got one for you. That why would I and the past tense business with Mike Pence from that clip I played a minute ago? What if, in a stroke of pure Machiavellian genius, they ditched Pence from the ticket and replaced him with, get the hockey puck? There's no evidence to suggest this, but nothing is impossible anymore. As Peter O'Toole says in Lawrence of Arabia, nothing is written. What if they ditched Pence and made, drumroll, Tulsi Gabbard his running mate? Remember, she went and kissed the ring up in Trump Tower before the inauguration because she wanted to be in that cabinet. And with the last word this evening, Darlene in Connecticut. Shit! I don't know who's sucking Trump's balls harder, Pence or Pompeo? Maybe they take turns, Darlene. Maybe they're both Balchinians. So that's it. I'll check in with Tracy, but I suspect her challenge will remain on the table for tomorrow. It has thus far been unresponded to. But that's okay. We'll do what we can with Friday on the front porch. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all our subscribers. Thanks to everybody who jumps in a la carte to keep this all going. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation in whatever means you choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Oh, and by the way, Lady B says, sorry, I forgot. In Brazil, they speak Portuguese. Hey, Flavio. Later, y'all.